Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium, where each episode releases 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anybody else, only when you join Rumble Premium. New episodes of Surviving Barstool will be released every Sunday and Wednesday, leading up to the Labor Day finale on September 7th. You can watch Surviving Barstool at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium and everywhere else at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com, Amazon, and select retailers nationwide.
All right, Project Big Screen, first episode of August for what could be the biggest movie of the year.
Crazy. Biggest movie weekend of all time, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest, yeah, opening.
We're fucking back.
Mm-hmm.
We're back.
Are very, very back.
Sorry.
Biggest opening in the history of movies. It beat Endgame, which is crazy. Like, that's fucking insane.
I wasn't even on my radar.
I didn't think it would ever happen.
No.
To be honest. Because
like the conversation was, could it beat Doomsday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, to beat Endgame is, like, I don't even think people are fully appreciating how fucking ridiculous that is.
Didn't even have that much hype going in. Like, you know what I mean? Don't get me wrong, Spider-Man movie for sure. But it wasn't like...
I don't think it had the conversation the last one had. It did. I mean, people were excited.
Right.
We were all very excited.
Agreed.
But it's like, I will say... Spider Odyssey, I don't know, like I don't want to say it's Barbenheimer, but I do think people being so present in the theaters with Odyssey, I think it probably helped it a little bit.
Probably
I
did.
Think that's part of it.
And it started earlier this year. It's been a snowball that's been picking up. I mean, you gotta ask, like, what would No Way Home have made? Like,
yeah,
you talk about the hype. No Way Home comes out the end of COVID.
True.
I think we also need to, like, get our hands around that Spider-Man is probably the most beloved character, in not just in comic history, in, like, film.
Batman has to step aside officially now. Like,
yeah.
it's not
everybody
Batman.
Does.
No, and
it's
curtains for Superman too. I mean, when you think about like legacy wise,
Superman
it was
is the dragon meme. Superman is the stupid dragon. Like that's like sorry to Superman.
Yeah, legacy wise, it was always Superman and Batman. They were 1A, 1B. They were the guys. But I feel like especially for this new generation, it is Spider-Man's 1A, Batman's 1B.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
No, Spider-Man's 1, no, 2, 3, yeah, 4, 5.
I was going to say, so I love Batman. He's not even 1B.
No,
I'm the Batman guy. Can't even compare him to Spider-Man.
I'm just saying.
It's crazy.
This movie did more in its weekend than Superman did the whole run.
Mm-hmm.
The entire run.
What about Supergirl?
Yeah.
I do. I think it would have made a lot of money without Odyssey, but I will say, I think that Spider-Man, if you're at the theaters for Odyssey, I saw in two different theaters, two different states, two different locations. When you saw the Odyssey, the Spider-Man stuff was there. And I think that helps, and I think that that was a little part of it as well. I do think that the roll into from Odyssey into Spider-Man helped Odyssey. The irony now being, we just found out this morning, Spider-Man is gobbling up IMAX screens from the Odyssey, which is a little bit of a disappointment. But as Clemmer said a couple weeks ago, that is a smaller percentage of the ticket sales, I think people realize. So I'm not sure it's going to, like, hurt Odyssey, really.
Tiny percentage.
Yeah.
Because, and this even proves it, the fact that Spider-Man made so much money with very little to no IMAX screens this weekend, you know, it got a tiny amount, that just shows you how IMAX is big for us, and we love it, but that's not how the general consumer goes to the movie.
Why not expand to Infinity Vision if you're
Spider-Man?
That's what I was saying.
That's where their big miss opportunity there.
Why not do that?
Why didn't the Odyssey release an Infinity Vision? I was waiting
for that. That's a crossover event of the century. Yeah. The Odyssey and Infinity Vision.
Yeah.
So I made a lot of money. We're also about to talk about it. We should do what we actually didn't say beforehand. It's probably a mistake, but I think we can all pretty much rattle them off. We can come to maybe a consensus agreement on ranking the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
I don't. I don't think I'll entertain any discussion that doesn't put the animated ones first. But I don't know. That's maybe we disagree.
Oh, jeez.
Disagree. Well, Clemmer only just saw them. So.
I only saw one of them. I haven't seen the second.
Oh my!
I only saw one of them.
Watch the second one. The second one might be better.
I will.
Oh no! First one.
You love
so
Spider-Man
better.
Though. You're a Spider-Man guy. Come on.
I like Spider-Man a lot.
Yeah.
Are you more? You're more of a Batman guy though. Still, right? Like that's.
Oh, I'm a DC guy. I'm a Batman guy first. Like first foremost, Batman's my favorite. Batman's my favorite character of anything that's ever been created. I like Batman even more, like Tony Soprano or Rocky Balboa. I love Batman. But Spider-Man, you have to give him the crown. I mean, Spider-Man is the most beloved, like I said, character in film, TV, any media, right? Is there anything that even comes close to Spider-Man in media?
Not really. No. Like, just ubiquitous love. Like, everyone loves Spider-Man.
And also really? a really good track record. Yeah. When you look at, if we looked at all of the Spider-Man movies.
Really good track record.
Really good batting average.
Even, like, the worst ones. Like, if we were to probably, like, you'd probably be on the same page with, like, Amazing Spider-Man. Like, they still, like, Spider-Man do well. 3. Like, it's great. Yeah, same thing. Like,
maybe,
it's crazy.
Like, it's still, yeah.
Yeah. Crazy though. Made what was the official number released today?
I saw 360.
360 domestic, I think it was. Yeah.
Putting up an Xbox.
It changed from last night.
Yeah, went up.
360 million. Yeah, yeah.
Sony kept hitting like the smaller estimates. They keep being like, I think we're second. And then it's like, no, you're first.
Yeah.
Say it with your chest.
Which they should. I mean, there again, me and Clemmer joked about this before. Sony
now
pretty bad with marketing.
Let's be very clear about one record. It beat Endgame domestically. It did not beat it globally.
Yeah.
Globally, Endgame made $1.2 billion, which I just don't think. I don't know. Let's ask maybe something in like 20, 30 year, but that is just a number that is so staggering. It's just fucking crazy. But the fact that Spider-Man Brand New Day is now second by almost $300 million over Infinity War is, it's just, it's madness. And it goes to, again, you know what? People can dump on superhero movies and they can say what they want and blah, 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 whatever. Christopher Nolan said it. He's like, thank God we had them. He's like, got us through COVID, got us through a lot of that stuff. But this is obviously like, there's a reason they exist. And as long as they're done well, because I think we're about to get 5 pretty decent reviews on this, at least like bare minimum decent. If they're done well, they serve a purpose and they can do a lot for the box office for movies. But also like I think Clemmer, you're saying, and Gucci's like, shout out Obsession, shout out Backrooms. I think that's a big part of the year as well. So let's get into
done
Spider-Man.
Well with characters people care about
that too,
like that's the thing. This isn't like Spider-Man is special, like that's a great comic book character.
Well, Chris, you say that though, but like Guardians of the Galaxy 2 made more than Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
I don't think, but characters... I think if you made Guardians of the Galaxy now though, it wouldn't hit like it did.
Maybe
I think it's a tougher sell for Marvel.
You can't reach the heights, that's for sure.
I just think Marvel has
It is worth noting Guardians was released at a time where it wasn't always a shoe-in that it was going to be. Like, it was still like, there was like, what the fuck is this? There
totally.
Was some of that early on with Guardians, for
People
sure.
People were like, talking tree, talking raccoon, obviously, yeah, no thanks.
I mean, again, what's the recipe for success? Usually, it's good.
Yeah.
That helps.
People don't seem to have an appetite for new comic book heroes right now. At least that's been the track record
sure.
the last few years. So that's the thing. So if you're going to release something now, if it's something that's existing, especially something existing that people love, Avengers, Spider-Man, even Superman did pretty well last year. That works. Did okay. I mean, no comparison. I mean, on a scale.
So this is directed by Destin Daniel Cretton, who is directing his first Spider-Man movie. He did Shang-Chi. Also did a movie with Michael B. Jordan called Just Mercy from a couple years ago. Glass Castle, Short Term 12 with Brie Larson. He did Wonder Man. He was the executive producer and director for 2 episodes, also co-creator. That just got canceled for season 2. It fucking blows. That
lame.
That stinks. That sucks.
Great
If that gets canceled, then fucking Cape Fear. Steven Spielberg, and by the way, I'm steamrolling Spider-Man. Steven Spielberg and Martin Scorsese should be fucking embarrassed their name was attached to that Cape Fear show on Apple TV. That's all I'm going to say. That was unbelievable. It got skewered too. It ended this week, and it got fucking people dumped on it.
It's free money.
Unbelievable.
It's Apple. Think I've seen a single person speak about it other than you and maybe like one person on Twitter. I don't know. And it's a show that should be.
It got the classic Bill Simmons like skewer tweet this weekend.
I saw
like,
that one. Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I was actually very glad. I'm not like a dedicated Ringer Simmons guy, but I was like, I'm glad somebody with like a lot of clout finally spoke up and was like, this thing, these guys should be fucking embarrassed they were involved in this. Anyway. So when Wonder Man got canceled, that's a bummer. Luckily for him, he had a win this weekend with the box office for this movie and for the reviews. This has universally pretty high reviews. I saw it first out of the group, and I walked out pretty confident with you guys. I tried to temper my expectations. It's like, it's tough. It's, you know, I saw on a screening, the guy next to me ate 3 hot dogs during the movie. So that was impressive. A little, I had to get through that mentally. But I was pretty confident with you guys. I told you, like, I think people are going to fucking like this. 98% audience on Rotten Tomatoes, 90% critics. And I got to say, I think some of the critic reviews were, you know, people love to say that me and Ken Jack get paid by Disney, Robbie too, whatever.
Yeah, I've been saying that for
a while. I think some
now.
Of the critic reviews were like anticipating like, oh, people are against Marvel now. Because there's some weird reviews out of the gates where I'm like, what did you watch? Like, what? I don't really know like what you're doing here. If you didn't like it, you didn't like it. But I'm saying there was a couple weird sentiment where it's like, interesting. I was kind of confused by that out of the gates, because now the reviews are kind of all over the place in terms of good. Tom Holland's back, obviously. Spider-Man, Zendaya, Sadie Sink is confirmed to be in the movie. We will not spoil things off the gates, but we can't talk much about it without spoiling it because of just the nature of what's in this movie. Also, at this point, I just think go see Spider-Man if you want to listen to what we're going to talk about.
Seems like most people have.
Yeah. Seems like a lot of people
have. I assume if you're listening to this, you've probably seen it. We won't spoil it out of the gates, though. John Bernthal in this as Frank Castle / Punisher. Jacob Batalon back. Zendaya, who is going to be in 3 of the biggest movies. Zendaya is going to have one of the biggest box office years of all time. Mm-hmm. Her and Tom Holland both in this and Odyssey, which is just fucking madness. That is crazy. Couple other people in this. Tramiel Tillman was confirmed, so I'll say that. Mark Ruffalo in as Bruce Banner / Smart Hulk. I won't say many more names here. Just not worth it. Michael Mando back as the character Scorpion. There's a lot of misdirect with the trailer. A lot of misdirect with the trailer. So I'll just leave it at that. We'll spoil it in a minute. I will start with you, our guest, Robbie Fox. What did you give Spider-Man Brand New Day?
I think I'd give it like a 92. That's how high I am on this movie. I loved it so much the first time. I saw it twice on opening day. Going back the second time, I liked it even more. And some people were saying, Hub said to me today, he's like, I thought, how could you do that? And then I saw it the first time and I said, I want to see it again right away. And I keep going back to this. The second time I saw it, there were like 10 scenes I was ready for the opening night crowd to react to. And the opening night crowd at the movies, it was probably the most packed movie theater I've seen since Endgame in terms of the lobby, the merch, the popcorn buckets everywhere. It was just went in with the ultimate great vibes. I was never waiting for those 10 scenes. I was watching the movie enthralled throughout the entire thing. And then when those scenes would come up, everyone reacted exactly as I wanted them to react in the theater with gasps or no. And you hear the little whispers. Like it was the opening night experience you want for a movie like this. And it was the movie I wanted for all the hype. And again, there wasn't even like Endgame levels hype. So I think this exceeded my expectations. I loved the performances. Tom Holland, best performance ever is Peter Parker. He's my Peter Parker goat. He also put so much into this, talking about turning down scripts, making sure he wouldn't return till he was ready. He said him and Zendaya had scenes where they'd be like, hey, this isn't working. Let's call cut for the day and go rewrite this. So he put like everything into this and it clearly paid off. I felt like even the Hulk and the Punisher and all of the characters that were brought in from the Marvel Universe, they don't feel like cheap cameos. They feel like there's real reasons for them to be in this movie, to advance Peter Parker's story. Feels like a real movie. And I love No Way Home, but that's like a fun spectacle. This is like a real movie with good themes, good message at the end. I loved it. I really, really loved it.
Yeah, I'll add a little context here. I feel like this group, I don't know where Gooch and Clemmer you stand on this. I know Ken Jack and I have talked about this extensively. We're kind of John Watts defenders to an extent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's a lot of issues that John Watts had with those movies, but people talk about him like he was a fucking terrorist.
Like a war criminal.
It's crazy.
I mean, the way they talk about him. I think he did a good job with those movies.
Yeah, he did a really good job. Homecoming. Yeah.
He did. John Hughes. Look, again, it had a problem, and I think Gooch and I align pretty heavily on No Way Home as well. I don't love it as much as some people do. It's a lot of remember this. I had a very fun time with the movie. I always joke it's the last movie I ever saw with my dad, and he was like, man, I don't think I love this.
Oh, God.
He went out at the right time because it was all multiverse from there on after that. But I like that movie, but I like the other ones more because that one just felt like, I was like, I feel like
the first two are like coming of age John Hughes movies, like
yeah.
you said.
Yeah they were fun. But yeah. they talk about John Watts like he was,
dude, I don't get it.
It's crazy. It's insane so to me. It's like, I think just kind of like a film Twitter thing. Like, they love revisionist history. They love being a chance to like collectively dump on anything. And like, those movies are good.
Yeah. I think even for Marvel standards, first two, which are pretty low. I will say, they look good.
Yeah, they look, especially like, Homecoming, man.
No Way Home has a couple issues where there's some weird filming stuff.
But it's COVID stuff.
Right, it's COVID.
Yeah.
And it's like weird because people don't excuse that for him. And I'm not saying it should be like a full excuse, but there's some scenes they just couldn't do. Like, yeah. I've seen a lot of critiques like, look at this, because they couldn't get them together. I'm like, filmed it during COVID. Like, I don't know. Like it also saved movies.
It's a miracle they were able to make that movie during COVID with the limitations they had.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I don't know. And it came out. I like John Watts. I'll say it. I do too.
But with that said, clearly, I think Destin Daniel Cretton kind of understood the assignment and like what to do and to change it up and give it a different vision. I was a little shocked by some of the early reviews that talked about like some of the stuff. And there's a couple maybe CGI moments that don't look great. Which is a kind of a concerning, unfortunate thing for Marvel because they have so much money and they spend so much time, but they do pump these out, whatever. But there was some stuff that looked really good here. Like, there was some really awesome, like, there's a lot of it looks real and like shadows and lighting, and you're like, oh, this looks different. This looks fucking awesome.
And no nanotech.
I think that's a big nod as well. But to the point, and I'll let you go next, Ken Jack, to what Robbie said, I was concerned. I think a lot of people were just like, there's a lot of fucking characters in this movie. And that's a common Spider-Man problem. I feel like the death of all three Spider-Man, like, and they did in the last one to an extent, but the death of all the other Spider-Man like eras were movies with way too many people. Spider-Man 3, Amazing Spider-Man 2. So this one, you're like, uh-oh. And they all service the story of Peter Parker. And they all worked, I thought, great. So, Ken Jack, what did you give it?
Yeah, I'm like, I would say at an 89 or maybe 89, 90 right now. I really enjoyed it. And to the John Watts conversation, like we were saying before, I feel like he was so hyper-focused on the adolescence part of Spider-Man, which is very important, like you were saying, like John Hughes type of stuff. And I feel like DDC kind of took the elements of Spider-Man in that era, which are so great, which is like his sort of naivete or whatever, where it's like, I have such a hard-line morality. I cannot kill people. I need to always do the good thing. I always need to do the right thing. And like, that's a very childlike type of thing. Like, no room for gray. And I think that he takes that, he grafts that onto like this more adult storyline, and he does it in a really, really good job. You kind of have like these two intertwining stories where it's like, he's the hero that has to sacrifice his happiness for other people, which has been done a million times in superhero movies. Not like a new thing. And then also misunderstood person that does does bad things for good reasons. That's also been done in superhero movies. But I think their intersection in this movie feels very fresh, feels very new. And at no point am I watching this and thinking like, wow, I've seen this before too many times. I've seen this storyline. It feels very fresh. And I feel like he also gives Tom Holland a real shot to shine in this. And he does a great job. I would agree with you, Robbie. I think this is the best he's performed as Spider-Man before. And I would also agree that I think he's the best version of on-screen Spider-Man that we've had so far. And he also gives Zendaya a really big chance to shine, which I thought was very smart. She's been like really just window dressing for the first three movies. It's just like, oh yeah, there's MJ. And now he's like, well, I have a good actor on my hands, so why don't I let her act? And he does, and she does great. Like the scenes where they're talking, like, no spoilers, like they're talking on like the boat, like she's crushing it. And it's because I think Daniel Cretton gives her the job or the opportunity to do that. So really enjoyed it. And I think, again, not that it's a super deep field, but I think the new additions are some of the best that I've seen in Marvel iteration wise. And I think that with Shang-Chi, like with Cretton, I think he does a really good job of infusing new looks and new feels to Marvel, because like we've seen a lot of the same thing over and over and over again. He introduces new camera work, new fight techniques, new everything. It just feels new. And that was so refreshing versus the sort of gray that you get a lot in the post-Endgame Marvel universe. And like you guys are saying too, it just feels kind of real to look at. Like visually, when you're looking at it, you're not seeing like, oh, big green screen. It just feels real. And even though when I'm watching it, I know they shot in like Edinburgh or something, like, or Scotland. It doesn't feel like New York when you're looking at it, but like it just feels like you're looking at a real place. And that's fine with me. So really enjoyed it. I would say if we're saying like ranking it among the Spider-Man right now, I think I'd only have maybe Homecoming a touch above it because I think it was that strong of an origin. But man, it is really good. A really damn good movie that is worth, or I think deserves the amount of box office accolades it's getting right now.
Yeah.
Gooch, what would you give it?
I'm at a 75, but definitely really liked it. I think that it's a huge step forward in a lot of places, especially how it looks. I think the interior scenes, like anytime they're inside talking, like you guys have pointed out, it's lit well, it's lit correctly. Everything is really practical. I think the scenes between Tom and Tom is the best he's ever been by a wide margin in this movie. A wide margin. And I rewatched all the Holland Spider-Mans and all the Maguire Spider-Mans this weekend, but he's really fucking good in this movie, especially in the scenes, though, with Zendaya. Yeah. And we'll talk more about them because there are quite a bit of spoiler stuff surrounding that. But those scenes are just at another level. I would also add that the soundtrack, great. And these movies have always done a great job with the soundtrack, although the last two got a little bit away. Homecoming, great soundtrack. Mm-hmm. This is right there on par. I do have this just a hair behind it quality wise, but love the soundtrack. Also does not, and this has been a huge problem with the multiverse saga. They set up stakes and they, you know, things will happen in previous films. And because of the way the multiverse is set up, things don't have a lot of meaning. Things just get waved away. There are rarely consequences that carry over from, if you're going to do this big multiverse stuff and this big universe franchise stuff, there's got to be stakes. And this movie does not let Peter off the hook one bit from No Way Home. Not a bit. And we'll talk more about that too. I think there's a villain problem. That's really what's holding you back for me. The villain.
I saw you say that on Letterboxd, and I have a counter to that that I'm curious what you think about that.
I
think it's fair.
Love the villain, and the lack of New York City in these movies still really holds this franchise back. I think it's just so integral to the character for him to be physically in New York and the scenes to be set in New York. It just really holds the franchise back, at least Holland's franchise. But this was great. I really, really liked it. 75 out of 100.
Clemmer, I'll let you go next and give your score, but I think a thing to Gooch's point that he just said, the consequences from the last movie were heavy. Everyone forgets about this guy. Mm-hmm. And I was curious. I went in kind of convinced like they'd remember him pretty much right off the bat.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, they're going to undo the consequences. And I think they make the consequences super felt. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you get that a lot in the MCU. And I a big round of applause for them being like, you know what? We're going to fucking deal with this. Like, this is part of the, like, I think they didn't cop out in a way that they could have to just be like, hey, Spider-Man. It's like, everyone remembers him again. Look at this shit. The Hulk remembers him. And they didn't do that. And I think that was a huge win. That was a big
somehow New York remembered Peter Parker. Like, that feels like something they would do.
Happened in Miss Marvel season 2. Yeah. Everyone got their memory of Peter back. Gotta watch that.
You gotta watch this thing to realize why this happened. Yeah, exactly. It happened in Fortnite. Yeah.
Clemmer, go ahead.
So I'm at an 84 for this. I like this movie a lot. This is a really good movie. Super entertaining. Spider-Man is the closest thing to a lock as far as an entertaining summer, you know, or that kind of attitude movie. You're going to see a blockbuster, you're punking down your hard-earned cash, and you're going to get entertained. You're going to walk out with a smile on your face. And Spider-Man delivers time after time after time. And so credit to I give Marvel a lot of shit. This is 3 good movies in a row for Marvel. So they deserve, you know, I'll be the first one to shit on them when they put out their stinkers. They deserve some pats in the back here. They've done well these last 3 movies. So this is all in all a good. There is a number of times where the story kind of collapses on itself. The lack of villain, and then we'll get into spoilers later. This parts of the story just doesn't really, it kind of falls away a bit. The not shooting in New York is a big deal. You can't make New York a character in the movie and then not shoot New York. It doesn't work. And it's very distracting. And at times would take me out of the movie. That might also be because I live in New York. If you don't live in New York and you've never been to New York, maybe you just don't give a shit. But yeah, I mean, Tom Holland is fantastic.
Could be the case. Yeah,
that could be true. I want to note that for 5 guys who lived in Manhattan, that could be the case. And a guy who lived very prominently on one, who lives very prominently one of the places in the movie.
Correct.
Yeah.
I pointed at the screen. I was like, he's probably in there, right?
I got CGI'd out. Yeah. My place is gone.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah. We'll talk about it more. Yeah.
Okay.
Tom Holland, I hesitate to say he's the best he's ever been because he's always a damn good Spider-Man. But this is, you're with him the whole time and he consistently delivers. I saw a lot of people kind of shit on Tom Holland after the Odyssey, which I thought was unfair because he's supposed to be a weaker character in that. I thought he did exactly that. Mm-hmm. But in this, you're like, no, this guy's got some chops here. Like, do I see him being, like, you know, 15 years from now, is he going to be like a leading actor? Maybe not, because he has kind of this boyish element that works for Spider-Man. You know, can this guy be a 45-year-old, you know, lawyer? Or I don't know. But for Spider-Man, for doing this, he's damn good. He's fantastic. Mm-hmm. The cast is good all around. I was just entertained from start to finish. So this is a good movie, and that's what you want this summer. And I'm glad it's making a ton of money.
Yeah, I would say you could probably line up the top 10 best actors in his age range, which I believe would include like Timothy Chalamet, like a ton of big time names. And I think you'd probably find 7-8 people that are better actors than him. But I wouldn't pick any of them over him to play Spider-Man.
Correct.
It is kind of like he kind of just levels up when it's time to play Peter Parker. Like, he just is so good in that role. And this one tested, there was emotions in the last one as well, but this was truly a Peter Parker story in terms of like emotion and everything. And I think he was fucking excellent. I gave it an 89, which could be a score that goes up at some point. It's one of my favorite MCU movies. I loved it. I think all the new characters, all the additions worked great off his story. I liked the villain here and how they did it, but because I liked the way in which they integrated it into his story, it made sense. Mm-hmm. It played off his dread, his grief, his loss really well. It's kind of crazy that the last two MCU movies were like about depression. Mm-hmm. And they were both great between this and Thunderbolts in different ways. But they, you know what? That's a sign to the fact that like, hey, you dive deeper into these characters. You know, don't make a surface level story. You know, take a risk. Doesn't need to just be fun. This was fun, but this also kind of took on some different things as well. I loved it. I think there may be some questionable like visual things at times, but I really liked all the practical stuff. It just looked I understand like the complaints like let's have a more lived in New York. Like I get that. And maybe we're just biased because we have lived in the city. You kind of want to see and feel that more. With that said, I love the look of just where he was and like where they were shooting and how the action scenes played out. I loved a lot of the slow-mo shit. It felt like a comic book. It really felt like a comic book at times, and that was fucking awesome. Suit looked great, too.
Fantastic.
Best Spider-Man suit ever.
So happy to be rid of nanotech. Oh, so happy.
Oh, my God, the Iron Boy suit, finally. Fucking God.
And that served its purpose, which is fine and all, right? Like, it's fine. It had its moments, but this was awesome.
That's Spider-Man. The way you could see his eyes behind the lenses in some scenes, that was brilliant.
Oh, yes, I love that.
So good. Mm-hmm. It was my favorite Spider-Man suit, for sure.
I like the shot inside the fucking mask. I think that's...
Me too.
I did too. That was cool.
I like that. Yeah, get a little creative.
Wait, did people not like that?
Some people were pissed about pissing.
Yeah, some people were like, "Oh, what's what do you mean?" It's like,
because it's fucking cool.
Yeah, I saw some people being like, "There wouldn't be that much space between his eye and the lens." It's like,
camera?
Who gives a fuck,
it's
man?
It's 10 fucking seconds and you're getting a different view of something. What's the problem?
And it was cool.
I want that. I want that first show we watched Iron Man. The first Iron Man be like, "Well, hold on a second.
Looking at that
view of Stark's face." Yeah.
I liked when he took a couple of creative shots. Hey, let's go.
I know he's a more obviously it feels still feels like a Marvel movie, but I think he's a much more creative director than your typical Marvel director.
Fucking wire work. There's like awesome wire work in this with the fight scenes. That's sick.
Action scenes were really creative. Like all of that stuff was just well done.
And they're physically doing a lot of it. Like they showed behind the scenes today of like when he's like up on the rooftop.
Yeah, I saw
like,
that.
Falling off of that. Like that was real. Like he's just hanging over a building. They did it all for real. And like, you can feel it on screen.
Yeah.
And again, I agree with you guys with the New York thing. But like, even if it's as long as it's physically on a street and on a screen, I'm happy.
I feel like maybe I'm more forgiving, but I never run into an issue with that. I felt like that kind of looked like the West Village.
Oh, that's crazy.
The main street,
and that's wrong. They have so much money to make these movies. Don't be like they're put on a street.
Yeah, I don't believe for 2 seconds.
I think it's better than a green screen. That's all I'm saying.
Well, no shit, but this is a fucking Marvel giant
movie. Well, you're critiquing me over something I'm not saying. I'm saying I think it's better than it being on a green screen. I'm happy with that.
But it's a half measure.
I'm saying it's relative. It's relative. It's relatively better than being on a green screen.
I agree with Clemmer. Like, I think spend the money. But I am actually curious. We don't have to make this. Doesn't have to be this. We'll talk about the movie. But I would like to see what people say about this. If it matters to the people who aren't from New York.
Yeah.
I do wonder that.
I don't think it would at all.
They go out of their way to make this a character in the movie. Think about the end credits.
Mm. Yeah, the end credits.
Pictures in New York.
Those were in New York.
That's the city he lives in.
You can't do that and then they shoot it in England. It looks stupid.
In Scotland,
I don't think it looks that stupid.
All right. That looks stupid.
I thought it looked good.
You're going to forgive anything it's Marvel, though. You're going to be like, oh, it's okay. It's
no, I don't forget the bad Marvel movies. This is J. Jonah Clemerson. This is J. Jonah Clemerson. Back at it again.
Don't do that.
Oh, cool. Why can't I do that? I do a show every week about this shit. Absolutely.
I didn't leave that movie pissed off that they didn't shoot shoot in New York, I was fine with it.
That's insane.
I would have liked New York.
That's insane. That makes
crazy. You got to worst people to have on for this. It is like for that discussion. Because I
but you can't do that though, Jeff. You can't have the
I agree. I think
the end credits was like laugh out loud. Like what are you doing?
Made $900 million in one weekend.
Did you want to show London in the end credits?
You can't. Show
you don't shoot in New York, you're not allowed to pretend like it was shot in New York?
Not like that. Not when you're showing pictures of real people in New York. That's ridiculous.
It was just shots of like the riverside and
no,
like,
the
skyline.
You stand up in your screening, Clemmer? Get the fuck out of here.
Clemmer standing up being like, fuck you at the end credits.
Oh, I couldn't roll my eyes up anymore. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
He made
me?
A public service announcement to the theater during the credits. This wasn't actually shot in New York.
I didn't have to say it. They all knew. I didn't have to say anything. I'm sure everyone was aware.
Know.
You're dealing with it. It's like,
they
oh, it's fine.
Know. It is fine.
It's not.
It's fine.
It's a Spider-Man movie. Spider-Man's New York. It sucks. Shoot it in New York. You have the money.
I agree. I know they had issues shooting Amazing Spider-Man 2 in New York.
Yeah, but oh, not Spider-Man 2. I was about to say Spider-Man 2 opens with the great Joe's Pizza run.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Amazing. That's the kind of stuff that just like that's that extra bit of seasoning that takes the
no,
dish
I agree.
To the next level.
You shoot in New York, that's an extra bit of seasoning.
Yes.
But I'm not like that's a real detriment to the movie.
It's not
you
like
said it was distracting
at
times. I was never distracted by the setting. I wasn't. I didn't run into that.
It didn't distracted. Hurt my suspension of disbelief, I don't think. Like I was like looking at it as a New Yorker, like you're saying, which is very much an us thing and the people that live in New York thing. Like, yeah, like that's not obviously not New York, blah, blah, blah. But it was never like, wow, I do not believe this is Spider-Man anymore.
No, Infinity Wars got that scene on Bleecker Street that they shot in Atlanta. I think it looks fine.
Yeah, like it's really a matter of like relatively. Yes, they should be shooting in New York. There is no
question.
Marvel
wouldn't do this shit. Why can't Marvel just shoot on location? Why? Why did they do this?
I'm sure there's a valid reason.
Yeah, because they're being greedy.
It's cheap, tax evasion.
They made $10 trillion.
That's my point.
It's like,
there's a lot. You, if I had to guess that this is all so timeline heavy shooting wise because they're producing so many things that with the volume and CGI, you don't get the delays that you get with on-set location shooting. If that would be my only guess. On location shooting, a lot of things can happen and things can get thrown out of schedule that they just cannot afford to be off schedule. That would be my only guess because, like, they have the money for it. I don't believe that there's a security – there's obviously a security risk shooting any time in New York. But they shot The Devil Wears Prada 2 here with Meryl Streep and Anne Hathaway.
Much less of a load, to be fair.
Much less of a load, but there's still rabid
fans.
The biggest pop star in the world got married in the middle of the city, and she figured it out somehow. If Taylor Swift can figure it out –
the other movies shoot here, though, Kendrick. You make it sound like everyone's
shooting
here.
No, I agree.
Not movies as big as
Spider-Man,
though.
I just don't think
that's comparable. Movies as big as Spider-Man do not shoot here.
Oh, that's true.
I can't think of a movie as big as Spider-Man that shot in New York. This isn't just Marvel.
I will note there like, is just not. It is not just Marvel.
I mean, Spider-Man.
Go, Quiet Place is the last big movie to really shoot here.
Again,
like, Quiet Place when they did like the set here.
Yeah, I mean,
shot
Batman
here.
Shot here.
When?
The Dark Knight Rises.
That was in Pittsburgh.
That was in Pitt.
Yeah. No, they had stuff right. I mean,
they
I was
did,
working.
They did
on
Wall Street. On Wall Street.
I was working there. Yes.
Yeah, but again, we're talking about 15 years ago.
That
that's the most recent movie you can name.
To that point,
here?
Though,
I mean, big movie. I mean,
that's a huge distraction in that movie too. To your point, it's a huge distraction in Dark
Pittsburgh
Knight Rises.
The Pittsburgh thing kills me. Yeah. It's like what?
But that's Gotham City. It's not a real place.
In Chicago,
Spider-Man is New York.
It's also interior.
Dark Knight is aggressively Chicago.
I know, but Gotham is not a real place. Spider-Man is New York.
No, that's fair. I don't. They've made $900 million the first weekend. I think they shoot New York for the next one.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
I'm okay with that.
I think maybe part of it is the scale because, like, if you have to drive, because they did physically drive it like an armored personnel carrier through the street in Scotland, they physically did that. So if you physically need to do that, and that's a very difficult thing to do in New York, you'd have to shut down like multiple streets and avenues to do that. I think that'd be very hard.
Little devil's advocate, they do similar things for Daredevil in New York.
That's
like they drive armored like AVTF force trucks.
Yeah, so like you scale it down, you make it. If I had my choice of it, yes, I'd scale it down, do whatever, and make it sure it's shot in New York. But if it's going to be this or it's going to be No Way Home, like yes, this 1,000% yes every single time. Yeah.
All right, let's get back into the. If you don't care about the New York thing, I apologize.
I mean, shooting on location is a big deal with no. I'll
you know
say
what?
It.
I'll say
that's
it. Mom Donnie should fix it right now.
Yeah,
right
that
now.
Would be
make it free. Make it free.
Bipartisan issue.
Yeah, make it free. Honestly, Spider-Man should be getting fucking checks from the Department of Tourism in New York City.
I agree.
It's not just a New York thing. Marvel movies suffer because they shoot
on
green
screen. No, but Spider-Man is a New York icon. He's like the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
Like there should be some sort of tax break for shooting Spider-Man movie. Like they should be.
He should be treated like Jalen Brunson in this city.
He really
should. One thing
should.
We can talk about before we get into spoilers. Peter's one thing before spoilers that I do want to mention, because he's in the trailers, and if you really want to listen, you haven't seen it. We'll talk about this. I think everyone agrees it's a good part. John Bernthal and Tom Holland, great chemistry.
Yes.
So like, good. Just fantastic. The Punisher Spider-Man dynamic the movie is off the charts. Like every scene he is in, Punisher just lifts it up to another level. I think it's great. And again, another great example, character with a lot of grief, a lot of loss, a lot of demons, perfectly plays into the Peter Parker story. Like it, I knew they worked together. Like, and I know it's not the first time they've ever been together, but it's one of those things where you're like, I do wonder. We haven't seen the Bernthal Punisher and Tom Holland Spider-Man, how it worked. Like a glove. Like perfect, I thought.
Been working together forever. Like, for it makes like, me like 15
want,
years now, basically.
It truly makes me want him to just be in every Spider-Man movie now. Even if it's a tiny role where he pops up. And like you said, Jeff, like, I feel like you could almost see, Peter Parker can almost see that's what he could become if he isolates himself.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you don't want to become that. And then Bernthal, like, the Punisher can also see, okay, this is a kid that's probably around the same age as his kid would have been at this point. And it's changing both of their psyche throughout the movie, but not making it too heavy-handed. Mm-hmm. The funny stuff is really, like, the comedic
Staten
stuff.
Island, you can talk about Staten Island.
Love that. That's, like, really funny. And then, like, the emotional stuff they nail. Like,
yeah.
I almost think it's a brilliant change as well. The other Spider-Man movies all have, like, a mentor. Mm. And this one doesn't have really a mentor. It's more like a friend. Mm-hmm. And Spider-Man could become the mentor himself in this trilogy.
It was like a buddy cop movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that works.
Yes.
Like,
yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, I had like some of those Lethal Weapons sensibilities about
that's
it.
That's
like,
Staten Island exchange. Yeah, yeah. Like, I saved your ass in that last one. Like, that's a buddy cop exchange
like,
for sure.
We got to shoot. We got to shoot her. You can't do anything about it. Like, no, we're not going to shoot. We're going to be approach this rationally.
Yeah.
Like, I'd watch a smaller movie with lower stakes, say, and it's just Punisher and Spider-Man just like fighting crime that weekend.
Yeah. Really good dynamic.
All right. This summer, DraftKings, folks. Whatever you're watching, baseball, golf, soccer, racing. Hey, maybe the big world soccer event got you into wanting to get ready for the other big soccer leagues. DraftKings has you covered for every single moment. We're like 70 days out from the NFL. The DraftKings Sports app is now available in all 50 states, bringing the game straight to your fingertips wherever you are, from Florida to Texas to California. You're on all the excitement. At the speed of sports, follow every buzzer beater, every walk-off, every photo finish. Sweat the moments that matter in real time with a seamless experience built for the biggest season of the year. Football, ever so close. No matter what you're watching, you're always connected and in the game with one app. New DraftKings customers sign up with code BIGSCREEN, BIGSCREEN. Spend $5, get $150 in rewards within 14 days, including all markets. That's Big Screen. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. All right, let's get in.
Bet with DK Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777. Visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, bet tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 and over. Void in Canada. Event contract trading with DraftKings predictions involves risk of loss. Availability varies. Predictions offer void in New York. Bet to get bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Trade to get predictions dollars that expire in 1 year. $50 in rewards issued every 7 days via click-to-claim for 14 days. One non-withdrawable reward redeemable. Terms at dkng.co/offer. Limited time offer.
To spoilers now. So we all love this movie. We had a great time with it. Varying levels of rating, but we all really liked it. We all were very hyped for it. So that's a big thing. We are going to spoil it now. So if you have not seen this movie, which I can't imagine many of you listening right now have not seen this, I would stop here because we are going to completely spoil it. So the big thing here, the villain. I've been rumored for quite a while that Sadie Sink was in the movie. Then it was confirmed. They didn't say who, but it was for a long time rumored that she'd be playing Jean Grey. She is Jean Grey. I thought it was a pretty simple reveal, too. Like, I thought they were going to maybe do like more
really
like
good
theatrics, and I'm kind of glad they just kind of like went through to it and didn't make it too big of a deal, because there are some complaints, and I get them, that it becomes she hijacks the story a little bit. I'm not bothered by that because her backstory feels so parallel to Peter Parker's, and obviously they integrate it perfectly with this great Aunt May scene towards the end of the movie, that I think that works. I liked her. I think she's going to be great as Jean Grey.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk about Jean Grey, I think, later on. We're doing worse Marvel castings. Who, though? Who, though, is the question. I think she was great. Gooch, she is the villain for a good chunk of the movie. Then she's not. It's Trammell Tillman, who's going to definitely be back, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah.
He is awesome.
Great actor.
Everything he's in.
I like him a lot.
Every line he utters in anything is just great. Mm-hmm. You had an issue with the villain. I didn't. It felt like the villain was represented almost more by like grief and loss and her character as well. But I understand being like, okay, not a great villain here. And I've liked the Spider-Man villains. I Michael Keaton was fucking great in Homecoming.
He's great.
Yeah. I love Mysterio. I love Jake Gyllenhaal.
He was awesome.
He's me
awesome.
Too.
I can't believe people really shit on that.
I don't get that.
See, that wasn't so hard. Come on.
Yeah, he's great. People love the cast that movie aside, and I'm like, did you watch it? Like, did you like watch it again? Like, what's wrong with that movie? Anyway, so Gooch, I'll let you go first because you kind
of
an issue.
I have more issues with the Tramell Tillman side of things. The damage control is just too much of a generic, like,
damage
what are we
control.
Doing?
Like,
damage control.
Come I mean, on. It's from the comics.
I mean, they have. I mean, also, Damage
There's
Control
a lot
has
of bad
been
things
in
the comics.
Damage Control has, but Damage Control's been in.
Yeah, been around in
the
Marvel
opening
for
of Homecoming.
A while.
Yes,
yeah.
The opening of Homecoming.
Silly.
The Chitauri weapons. Yes,
but they have been there. They have been there. So.
They have been there, but it's so like so, it's so hard
another,
to grab onto.
Another character from Severance, by the way.
Who was it? It was
it's his friend. His friend. No, the we interviewed him. What's his name? The guy who's in like
the bigger dude.
No.
I'm running out of
from Severance? Oh, Succession.
Oh, wait, no, you said Severance. Never mind. I screwed up. Severance. The guy from Succession is in...
Who is
Ari... Him. That portion
Michael,
of... The...
Michael Chernus, who plays Rickon in Severance, is one of Michael Keaton's guys.
I know you're talking about, though. You're talking about...
What's his name's friend? Buys them out. Yeah.
Stewie.
Kendall
Stewie.
Stewie.
Yeah, Stewie. Stewie works for Damage Control, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Damage Control really just did not move the meter at all for me. I do think the Sadie Sink stuff is better. It's not nearly as bad, but her backstory did really, again, nothing for me. Her stuff with her sister.
Oh, you didn't like that?
Didn't love it. Didn't love it. Didn't love those flashbacks. Really didn't love any of the flashbacks that they included in the movie, which might just be a testament to how great the new stuff is. I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair.
And it did have kind of, and I think it's handled a lot better here than most Marvel movies when they do it, a problem of we got to set up the next thing. And it does feel a little, it's not entirely seamless, but it's not entirely like cohesive, which is the insertion of Jean Grey and trying to get the X-Men into the Marvel universe. I do wonder what this movie looks like with a different villain, with a more concentrated villain that keeps Peter just really just Peter. And maybe the Punisher, maybe the Hulk do, but really focused in on the Peter Parker storyline. That's really where my biggest issue is in that back third, that villain, and really the Sadie Sink stuff, which isn't nearly as bad as I keep saying. Not as bad as the Tramell Tillman stuff, but still not perfect.
It does two things that are very interesting to me that have been issues for Marvel in the past, and I'd be curious if you agree on this. I haven't always loved the Spider-Man grappling with powers things. I never liked it with the Tobey Maguire stuff. It always kind of felt wonky to me. I'm not as big of a fan of the Raimi ones as other people are. I like them. They're good movies. I'm not saying they're bad movies. They're good movies. But I'm not as big of a fan as some are. I don't think I've always handled that well. I think it was handled well here. Also, Jean Grey has been a disaster character in movies for the most part.
Big time.
And her introduction, and I think both those things have been issues in the past for Marvel, kind of played off each other here. And I think those were done pretty well. And I think to what you said, Gooch, I could see the cracks potentially and where you could start to break it down being an issue, but to introduce such a big thing, but have it be a service, I think pretty well to the story of Peter. I was like that. I was kind of shocked it worked, I will say. Because when they said Jean Grey, I was like, uh-oh. But yeah. I think it all worked great because they made sure, yes, it's the continuous Marvel problem. It sets up the next thing, but it didn't. It was a service to the story of what Peter was being told. And the story that they were telling with Peter was very fitting with what's been told in previous movies as well. So I do think those maybe the pieces didn't fit perfectly, but better than I ever expected them to fit.
I thought that character was written pretty badly, actually.
Really? Jean Grey, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I mean, she kills a guy. She kills a guy.
Yeah, people are having
guy
a
in the street.
Probably more than one, honestly.
definitely more than one. Which, to be fair, Jean Grey kills a lot of innocent people.
But I mean, we got Yelena. Yeah. We got Yelena running the Avengers now.
Yeah,
so,
she was like an assassin for Russia for 100 years.
Yeah.
Like,
we also
Bucky Barnes is like one of the big heroes.
I mean, that's what we're gonna do. That's what we're gonna
Iron
do.
Man, the very first movie in the MCU, Iron Man killed a lot of innocent people.
Yeah, the Hulk is blowing up Afghanistan.
Yeah,
the Hulk is murdering.
I think this was different because it was like so blatant. Like she didn't do this to escape. She just literally she killed that guy for no reason.
Yeah. Well, my headcanon is she went into that guy's brain. She was like, "Oh, this guy's a pervert. Let me kill him on my way out."
he's a creep. Yeah.
And like just fucking with Spider-Man would like it's one thing to like. When she like took over Zendaya's like body, like and like that's a weird line.
Can I present you a counterpoint? In her mind, everything that she can see with it is that he is essentially Spider-Man is like an asset of damage control.
He's working
damage
for
control
them, yeah.
to her is evil. They're right. fucking Nazis, yep. and he is working for them
and hunting her down specifically.
And hunting her down, like he is an like
but
the
why
more
can't
bad
she
guy
figure
here.
Out that damage control isn't working with Spider-Man just by jumping in the head of someone in damage control?
But he is working.
But they are.
He is working for them.
Well, not at that point though, right?
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
But, he has a meeting in it.
He has
it's
a big
like,
meeting at their head.
All right, I'm going to go after her. Yeah.
Right, that was before.
And at that point to him, he was all thinking, right. like, yeah, these are the good guys. I'm working with them to get Jean Grey.
I guess. I felt it was just she's killing people, and then she's a good guy because she talks to Marissa Tomei for 5 minutes. I was like, I don't know if I'm really – this felt rushed. And it was a shame because I'm like, I just want to hang out with Spider-Man. I don't need this shit.
I thought the Tomei scene was what really tied everything together.
It was
together.
A very good scene.
Yeah. Such a good
and
scene.
She was
her
good
her acting in that mm-hmm. was tremendous, and her little role that they give her. I didn't expect to see her either. I also thought this was a brilliant thing. I didn't expect to see Marissa Tomei. I also, leaving No Way Home, kind of didn't want to see Zendaya and Jacob in the next movie. I was like, give us that separation. I didn't feel that way at all seeing the movie. I think it helped
that
we had.
I think we had
5 years.
The way they handled the consequence from the last movie, I thought were perfect.
So well
done.
Yeah.
There's a moment. I think the best moment in the movie is when MJ's possessed by Jean Grey.
Really good.
And they have the kiss and they have the reveal, right. like very like possession obsession vibes.
Who all here thought that kiss was real?
Oh, I totally bought into it.
I bought into it. Okay. I
believed it.
I did too.
Okay, what I'm finding out is every woman I've talked to, and of course a lot. Every woman I've talked to was like, oh, no.
My fiance didn't believe it for a second. She was like,
but every guy I've talked to has been like, oh, yeah.
We're seeing it Wednesday night. We'll see. I'll ask.
Probably just hypnotized Ben. I was like ready to tear up and be like, they're back. 45 minutes is the movie.
I got mad. I think it's a testament. That's what did it.
No, I was in that same position.
I was annoyed.
That's why I was like, this is fake.
But which is great, by the way, because the character, I think they knew, I guess, dumb men.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dumb men. Yeah.
Man. I think totally. It's a testament to the movie.
That's brilliant.
It really does a great job of like making like, you hope for Peter. Like,
that, but then even
love's first kiss, how
right,
foolish. Right?
Right after the Hulk fight, when he goes back and she's standing there with the note, that's one of the best scenes in the whole movie.
That's really good.
The acting between the two of them, oh, so good, so heartbreaking. You feel for Peter. Peter's down bad in this movie. Even the subtle scene of him and Ned building Star Wars Legos together mm-hmm. and her being like, man, you really do look like best friends, and she has the picture she drew of them. That's like a great moment that has heart, and it feels again like a real mm-hmm. movie. It doesn't feel like just an Avengers spectacle movie. Like, that's a real scene there, and I thought that stuff was tremendous.
Mm-hmm. And that's always like a great classic superhero storyline too. Again, though, like a superhero has to sacrifice
totally
happiness for, but done in
and
a different
classic
way.
Spider-Man specifically too.
Yeah.
Were you guys frustrated when they got pulled away from stuff like those great scenes to go back to Jean Grey? That's
no,
where I was
I
like, I don't want you. I want more this.
Honestly,
no,
I thought the Jean Grey backstory was cool. Like, I thought
I thought her grief and like her loss and that whole thing played into it. If it hadn't. If it was like, okay, here's Jean Grey's issues. If it hadn't played into Peter Parker, I'd be completely on board with what you're saying. I'd agree completely.
I think it played enough
into his story that I had no issue with it.
To her point, to her credit, and you're talking about acting before, I think, number one, not to go too much into the stuff we're talking about later, like Sadie Sink, it all took was a 20-year-old to come in and be instantly the best Jean Grey ever, like on screen. Like, it's crazy how good she was.
Hey, not
she
too was, much on Famke.
No, no, much. No disrespect, but like in the limited screen time, I would say limited. I don't think she had like an ass ton versus everyone else. Like, I think she was pretty fucking good. And I think that storyline really helps you set up like the Trask industry stuff and like what the future of X-Men is going to be, where it's
dude,
like,
the inhibitors.
The
Peter
inhibitors.
Parker came up with the inhibitor design. Like, if you don't think that's coming back to bite him in the ass when the X-Men and the mutants come into play,
even,
like, you're
dude,
crazy.
The darts, they remind me of the darts in like X2 and X3.
Totally.
Like this, I feel like does a really good job of, and you know, you can complain about it being
sitting
there.
I don't like that stuff. I care about the movie I'm watching now.
I do think it does a good job of like, they are good.
Yeah, but that is part of me, and that is what you get.
They're a working villain for that.
It's a shame.
They're a working villain, I think, for this, where it's like they're like Peter again. The part of his naivete, whatever. Like, he always wants to trust the good guys. He always wants to trust people, and he trusts damage control, and they flip it on him. And I think that is so good for later on what we're gonna see with X-Men and with Trask Industries and with, like, now they are no longer like the superhero people. They're no longer the good guys. They're the others. And like that, I think, is going to be such an important thing for X-Men.
The sister stuff was dark too. That when you find out VMAX was just the last thing she
saw.
Yeah,
that was really
tortured to death. That was good, man. I like that. And I think I said to you, Jeff, I'm pretty sure the story with her sister Sarah having powers as well is an original story for this movie.
I was going to say.
I believe in the comics. I don't think her sister ever has powers.
I've never heard of that. Yeah.
I think she has a sister, but I'm pretty sure it's just like whatever generic sister. Jean was cast aside. I kind of like the idea that they were the same and the sister was killed. So that drives her crazy, you know, revenge and darkness. If that's the tone the MCU X-Men are going to have, I think that's a great sign.
Mm-hmm. So Metzger, the character that Trammell Tillman plays, is a real character. I think it's a deep cut from the comics.
It is a deep cut.
I thought he might be Trask, Bulwer Trask. Yeah, I thought too. That might happen.
Which would be great casting, too, if that was the case. I wouldn't
have made him Stryker. I would have been okay with like a completely different take on Stryker.
Yeah.
But obviously, like they did the one big X-Men reveal. I'm very excited to see where they go next.
And she's going upstate at the end of the movie, so it's like, okay, here we go. She's finding Xavier School.
Mm-hmm. Right. I kind of thought we were going to see it.
I was hoping. I was hoping so bad.
I was hoping for the same thing. I'm glad they did.
Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't, but it's...
Would have been too cheap.
Again, honestly, it's a good subtlety just have her going upstate, just going, you know, like, you're like, okay, she's going there.
Yeah.
Like, she's going somewhere around there. You're like, okay, I got that.
Mm-hmm. And a great actress to build the X-Men around as well. Like, knowing you have Sadie Sink locked in that, like, 1A spot, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
I know Gooch was through the roof when he saw Yelena, when he saw Florence Pugh.
I think there are probably too many characters in this movie, but I will make an exception for Yelena.
I think she was a good... I haven't even gotten to this point yet. I should have said some non-spoilers. This movie does a fantastic job at not undercutting every emotional moment with a fucking joke. Yeah. And when they do, it's heartfelt. Like, even at the end with Punisher and Spider-Man when they're in the hospital, it's emotional and there is humor, but it's like a sentimental amount of humor. It's not like, oop, fucking someone fell in the background and fell on their ass or they farted. And I know that doesn't really happen. Okay. That's Phantom Menace. But you get my point. It's like the whole movie, I actually don't think they one time undercut a really emotion. There's a lot of emotional stuff in the movie. They did not undercut it with humor. Again, if they did, it was just a small moment of levity to sort of move on to the next thing. So I thought that was as big of a win as anything in terms of like going against things that haven't worked in recent or – I mean, that's not even a recent. That's like all Marvel stuff.
It's been
a problem since Guardians, really. So
Robbie brought up a point earlier about the characters, and he said how like Hulk and – Punisher got worthy. They weren't cameos. They were worthy parts. The only one I disagree with is
I understand that. It does not make a ton of sense for her.
I thought it did make logic sense, though. Peter's like, oh my God, someone's getting mind controlled. The only person he knows that's been mind controlled is her.
But no, but also on top of that, what is a question we always have when we leave these movies? Like, where the fuck are the Avengers?
Yeah.
This just nips that in the bud right away. Yeah. Just at least, like, it could have been one scene.
I know, Kramer, you just said, like, I don't like that. That's unfortunate. But that is the game here. Like, that is what they're doing. It's a connected universe. So I that's a great point. I didn't even think about that. Like, there they are. They're the Avengers.
We always ask that.
Yeah.
We always, at the end of every movie, are like, where the fuck are the Avengers?
Even in Thunderbolts, we were like, where was Spider-Man?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, when you're dealing with New York-centric heroes, I do like the explanation of, like, the Avengers deal with big potatoes.
Which,
this is small potatoes.
By the way, they're small potatoes people. Like, we're talking about the fucking new Avengers. Like, it's Sentry's great.
They do think
Sentry was big potatoes.
Sentry's big potatoes. Fucking Yelena and Red Guardian and Captain America 2. Like, they are small potatoes people. Those are regular people.
They think they're big potatoes people.
Yeah, they're definitely not. And what's the ghost and like you are not big potatoes heroes like Spider-Man could solo any of them.
She was she was probably the funnier stuff in the movie like intentionally, and it all was in the I think it just was timed out right.
I thought Ned was really funny in this movie.
Ned
has a couple lines. His line where
he's great in that role.
I like Ned.
He says like, don't you want insurance? And she's like, at what cost? He's like, it depends on your deductible. I love that line. I love his realization. Spider-Man's name is Peter. Like that got a huge laugh in our theater.
His energy was great in this.
The energy great, drink another addiction.
Great. The humor was all very well timed here. Hulk, Bruce Banner. I love the Banner scene. I thought the Thanos question from the audience from the class was great. That got a laugh out of me. You get Savage Hulk. Savage Hulk is back the first time in 10 years.
Since maybe, Ragnarok, like, right?
Ragnarok, yeah. Right? Yeah. I thought he looked great. I thought it was he didn't overstay his welcome as Savage Hulk. The clap was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Like all that shit.
Dude,
I was
Spider-Man
like
dragging the
that.
Punisher underneath him while he's shooting him. Our theater literally cheered for that shot. It was just a shock.
Mine did too.
It was awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. Biggest, it was very cool.
Biggest laugh for me of the, and that was actually probably the biggest, let's go, I've had in a Marvel movie for a while. Seeing, I love the Hulk. I love when he goes full rampage.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a moment on screen. But the biggest laugh was, because when Punisher shows up in that situation, in my head, I'm like, what the fuck are they doing? Are they really going to put the Punisher in this fight? This makes no fucking sense. And then 2 seconds later, this is way above your pay grade, Frank! Like, that killed me.
That was, and I even like Jean Grey taking over the Punisher and him, like John Bernthal acting like a teenage girl as he's like, good luck, Peter Parker, and he like keeps walking. I thought that was funny. Even, it was just creative fight scene. Him wearing the Shocker gauntlet from Homecoming and punching him while he's wrapping him around the building to kick him out. Like, it was just well put together. It wasn't just, oh, you turn your brain off because we've got action now.
Mm-hmm. I liked how it was resolved, too. Like, Ruffalo was being put in the ambulance. Like, did I hurt anyone?
Yeah, really
it's,
good.
It's like, that's probably what that character would say. Like, oh, my God. Yeah. Like, is everyone okay? Like, I like that, like, the moment of, like, I don't know, like, normalcy. Or not normalcy. You know what I mean? Like, reality like,
come
coming
down,
into this.
Yeah,
oh, no, that's probably what they'd say.
Even with the Hulk, like, letting go when he's like, Pete, like, I'm your friend, Peter. Like, do you not remember me? Like, the Hulk almost had that moment where he just... Okay, he let go, and that was the end of it. That was just, it was well done, man.
Mm-hmm. And before we get to the post-credit scene, we got to put on the Marvel nerd hat for a second, which is not a big post-credit scene. I thought maybe they got cut out of ours, though. I got to be honest. I
got theories.
Like, they didn't give us anything big. Like, I don't, like, it made me feel like, oh, that's the movie was like the showpiece here. Yeah. And you can tell people like the movie because because the post-credit kind of stunk and nobody really gives a shit.
True. Is that the worst one? You guys have seen all of them. I haven't seen all of them. Is that, that's the worst
Doctor Strange.
Probably.
Doctor Strange. Multiverse of Madness.
Bro, Captain America, Brave New World
was bad.
That was so that bad. Was bad. They just went and fucking
Big filmed something like, let's hope this works.
Yeah, something's Nelson coming.
That was a Tim Blake Nelson.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so bad.
But this was so lame. I was kind of annoyed I waited around.
Yeah.
That was all right.
But I don't know. I
was
totally fine with that.
I wasn't
like
mad.
The movie's focused. Now, we'll get to that in a second. Anything else, though, before we get to that? Because we all like it.
Oh, there is something we need to talk about, Jeff, with this movie that we both noticed pretty much right away, which was the product placement.
So much of it, man.
The Tom Holland non-alcoholic beer
was so
almost took me out of the movie
funny.
Completely.
Let me say this. This is the most Marvel Homer thing I could possibly say. I don't like beer at all. I like Tom Holland so much that I'm like, maybe I'll buy a case of beer.
A case of beer. The second I saw them, like, no bodega would lose more money than the one that stocked non-alcoholic Tom Holland beer in it.
Samsung. Takis, Liquid IV, Little Caesars.
Samsung was
people were saying they made their budget back before the movie came out.
Samsung made way. They was whatever that they paid were great return on investment.
Yeah, everyone can shoot in New York.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like before we get to the post-credit scene, should we talk about what the actual last scene in the movie? How we interpret
that was my
handshake.
My last thing before that was going to be the handshake, which they showed. They showed in a flashback beforehand.
Yeah,
that Ned, the handshake, and now Ned kind of like remembers a little bit. Which
that is a beautiful moment. I was tearing up at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. As much as I love that he dealt with his consequences, eventually he's got to get back with his fucking friend.
I kind of love the idea that like the platonic relationship is the one that is the true love's kiss. Like that is the one that breaks through. I love that.
So did we take it as he realized, all right, he found out earlier in the movie, Spider-Man's name is Peter. He introduces himself as Peter and he's putting it together in his mind. Oh my God, this guy's fucking Spider-Man. And that was muscle memory, the handshake. Or is it like something is knocked loose by what Jean Grey did?
I think the memories are knocking loose. There's also Ned's magic. Ned is
magic.
He
is magic.
Yeah, there were some tears too during when they were all frozen by Jean Grey. There were some tears, and I think that's definitely because you don't see. Do we see MJ again? I don't think we do.
We see her again, and she's on the rooftop holding the necklace Peter gave her in Far From Home.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. I think a great way to handle it because again, I was worried that they were going to do that in the first like 20 minutes.
Right.
Which been so cheap.
Yes.
And I think they earned it. I think they earned that. Which is
big
time.
100%. Because by the time we get to the next Spider-Man movie, or, you know, maybe he'll be in Secret Wars or whatever, but it's going to be another 3-4 years at least.
I
want to
see them together.
Yeah, and I do too. Yeah, I feel like by the time they get back together in that movie, it's going to be the most satisfying, like, couple reunion of all time.
And those
it's going to create world peace.
Those friendships are so great. And it reminded me a lot of that was in Superman with Jimmy Olsen and Clark Kent. Like, that sort of companionship is so great in these movies for, like, the 1A type of, you know, morally great superheroes. I love that. And I think like, it's so great with
them. I love their friendship so much. I really hope they never go down the Ned as a villain path, which they joke about. in No Way Home, and I would never do that. I'm like, I love their friendship so much. I really hope they never do that. That would break my heart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first time we see Ned in this franchise, he's coming up to Peter, and he's like, "Want to come over and build the Lego Death Star?"
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Oh, it's just beautiful.
He's watching Empire Strikes Legos, Back in this one.
Building Legos was like, I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah. So good,
earned,
man.
Earned emotional response from the audience, and that's what I hope. Look, Robbie was on 2 weeks ago to talk about Odyssey, and we had this whole big debate about Marvel and future and stuff, and I think there's a little caveat, asterisk I'll put on this. Spider-Man seems to be a bit death-proof.
Yeah.
Yes.
With that said, though, this is a very MCU-heavy movie. Super, super heavy MCU. Yeah. There's a lot of connective tissue in here, and it worked. And I think last year, Fantastic Four may not have been everyone's favorite. I like Fantastic Four, but I loved Thunderbolts. And I think Thunderbolts had a lot of real stuff in there. Doomsday, I know Doomsday has a couple scenes in the trailer where you're like, what is that? Like the Doom stuff. But I know they did film on a lot of like real stuff as well, because you saw that with the post credit of Thunderbolts, which was filmed by the Russos when they were on set for Doomsday. So I don't know. There's a lot of things that you're like, okay, if I'm even as a big fan, and I'm probably more positive than maybe Gooch and Clemmer, but I'm more maybe in the middle with maybe Ken Jack is. My level of confidence definitely went up pretty significantly with this. You're like, okay, if this is what they do going forward, let's just be positive, maybe say that they are. That's a good sign. There were a lot of things here that they did that went against a lot of stereotypes and tropes that they have brought on themselves.
Spider-Man movies have always been good. Even when Marvel was in its worst stages of bad movies, Spider-Man movies were still good. Spider-Man is not the bellwether for Marvel quality. Spider-Man is always going to be good because Spider-Man's awesome. Marvel did a great job casting Tom Holland from the jump. And I think the two directors said do a good job.
Mm-hmm. I do think I agree with that point. Like, Spider-Man can be good while Marvel's bad. But I do think this Spider-Man movie hitting right now before Doomsday, definitely what Jeff was talking about 2 weeks ago, it's trending upwards in terms of everyone's mindset towards Marvel.
Oh, it can't hurt.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I will say, since we had
and this one, and Clemmer, to that point, sorry to cut you off, but I do think this one, I was surprised. There was way more MCU connective tissue in this than I had expected. I knew these people were in it. Like, I knew Hulk, but I thought it was going to be sprinkles. They were very heavily in it.
Oh, big
and
time.
It worked.
Yeah.
I think, if this may be hindsight 2020, whatever, call it revisionist history. But if we had had this conversation 2 weeks ago, and Clemmer, you would have asked me, okay, but if it's just a Peter Parker Spider-Man story, do you see that as a big momentum boost? And I probably would have been like, I don't know, because it seems maybe separate on its own. But this one felt way more MCU based, and still works. I think
especially
that
the last three. The last three were all pretty much it's just Spider-Man shit. Like, there's not a lot of MCU happening in the other ones. Like, you get a little bit of Iron Man in the first one, but the rest of it's
strange. But for the most part,
it's just right.
Him
this
and
his
way
stuff.
More MCU heavy
and his villains.
Crazy.
Yeah,
and his villains. I will say, so,
which was the best Peter Parker story? That's the kind of weird thing, right? Like, it was
and
more MCU.
We keep
heavy.
Giving Tom Holland credit for this one being his best Peter Parker performance. It's probably the most time he spent in the mask versus outside of it as well, which I think is even more impressive. And his way of emoting while still in the mask is so good. Even the scene where he's like squeezing out the webs, he starts like gagging in the mask. Like, he's able to do good physical comedy in this suit as well.
Yeah. Since we had that discussion, though, the news did come out that Marvel was going to make less movies. Which is kind of like what we were discussing 2 weeks ago. Was like I think they realized, all right, we're going to need to do quality over quantity here.
They realized that a couple years ago, though, I feel like.
And if they're going to last year, I guess, you're probably right, because it takes a couple years to make a movie, you're right. But this is the first year we're kind of seeing the dividends of that.
True.
So, they're going to have, from now until the end of next year, you said there's only two Avenger movies, that's it.
Well, there's just Doomsday. They haven't even started shooting Secret Wars yet.
Mm-hmm. But that's
I think that's going to get pushed.
Oh, okay.
I definitely think. Okay. I mean, they haven't even started shooting. And it's
so is
to
there
come
a
out
chance 2027 has no Marvel movies?
Yeah, I think there is a chance. Mm-hmm. It'll definitely have some shows. We'll have Daredevil season 3.
But no movies.
Maybe no movies, which I'm totally fine with.
Are
I think
you?
That's like, yeah.
Build up some like serious anticipation.
What we were talking about last week. I feel like they have learned their lesson. And I'm cool with what they want
to
do from here on
out. Based on the slate, I have to believe you.
It's a good slate we've got. We've got two Avengers movies, Ghost Rider, Black Panther, an X-Men movie in development, and potentially a Deadpool movie in development. Those are all pretty safe picks in terms of box office.
And
you've
got to have a Spider-Man movie locked somewhere in there.
You would certainly hope so. You would hope that they're bringing back.
That's what they have to do.
Yeah.
What's that?
They have to do one every 3 years, within 3 years, 9 months.
Oh, that's the deal. The Sony contract. Okay, so we're definitely going to get a Spider-Man movie then.
And like with the box office, with the reception to this, bring back the whole squad. Everyone that was involved in this one, have them do the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I would have loved if DDC had got a chance to do Wonder Man season two.
I agree.
Maybe this will free him up. I think that's what it is.
I think that's exactly what it is.
That's what happened?
Yeah. Because apparently they knew last week. And they waited until this movie dropped, and they knew people would be excited. And then they were like, oh, we're actually not doing this anymore.
He was supposed to direct which one of the Avengers movies?
Kang Dynasty.
Kang Dynasty.
And right, that got taken away from him, and this one pretty much got given to him right away, which shows they had confidence in him to be like, you're going to be the big guy. You could see from Shang-Chi, too. I think Shang-Chi is one of the best post-Endgame
movies. Yeah, Shang-Chi, yeah. I actually revisited Shang-Chi the other day because of watching this, and I
first two-thirds of that are awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Becomes a CGI slop mess towards the end for sure. But like, again, creative choreography. Yeah, really good comedy. The Ben Kingsley stuff is hysterical.
Between him and his dad is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, really good. Like,
this guy's just a good director. He really is.
Really good director.
And very good for this, like, genre.
Did a nice job with this. John Watts did a nice job too, though.
Totally.
Yes, again, we are John Watts defenders here. Yeah. I think for the most part. I do not understand that level of hatred he gets at all. Not even the slightest bit. Like, I posted that in my Letterboxd review. I was like, I'm a John Watts guy. Like, I liked his movies. And the first comment on it was like John Watts is a war criminal for his trilogy. Like, are you out of your fucking mind?
I feel like there are, like, book people. You know how book people get mad at Game of Thrones and stuff? Book people get mad that the Tony Stark, Happy Hogan, like, that was a big part of Tom's trilogy. When I think it was such a natural way to do it in the MCU.
Yeah.
It's such a way to make it fresh from the other two Spider-Man takes, which weren't that long ago before Tom Holland took over.
Yeah.
And Andrew taking over, it was kind of like, we're doing this already? Like, you had to change it and give him Tony Stark and all that.
I would assume, I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, please tell me. I would assume when Tony Stark was introduced as his Uncle Ben, there was a known situation. And now Aunt May is obviously Uncle Ben as well to that extent. Yeah. Like, she dies as well. But he also is that replacement of Uncle Ben. I would assume there's an assumption like, we know Tony Stark's going to probably die in 2 years.
Mm. Probably.
The way they set up their relationship,
You can hate the Iron Spider stuff, and like, it's a Tony Stark, but like, a lot of the earned payoff of the emotion of the movie was because of that presence as well. And he was very felt in the last one as well. Everywhere I see his face, blah, blah, blah. So it's one of those things. So
is he mentioned one time in this movie, by the way?
Stark.
No. So.
There might be Iron Man in the background, but no. I'm sure there's Stark or Iron Man
somewhere. I saw a lot of chatter online. People were very upset. How does he afford this apartment? And I'm thinking, well, he knew Tony Stark pretty well. I'm guessing money's not a problem. Because they're like,
Because
the lady from The Bear was just like, hey, what do you do for work? This is my job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you love your job, he just inherited money on some level from Tony Stark.
Died like a year before.
You could also say he inherited something from Aunt May, passed away.
Well, she was
also
like food. I don't know if she had a lot of money, right?
But like,
they lived in a nice apartment.
And that's how they're like, they wiped his memory. It's like, if you inherit money, you inherit money. It's like, and people forget who you are.
People didn't forget Spider-Man is one of the Avengers. Like, there could be a deal where they funnel Spider-Man money and they don't know exactly who it is. Like,
it's also like,
I didn't think that was a crazy
thing. His NIL deal is fucking crazy.
No, see, I was thinking he's got that quad monitor set up. He's probably doing a little mining.
He's watching DDTG.
You know how Sony wanted to make him like a parkour Spider-Man. No, you're good. I'll cut that up. They wanted to make him a parkour Spider-Man at one point. What if now they're like, let's make him a crypto bro?
Actually, Diamond Hands sounds like it would be a Spider-Man villain.
Me and Clem were also joking, like, the MCU New York at this point is so dangerous that maybe Rent is just like ground floor. Yeah. Like, you could really get whatever, you know, story apartment.
He like stopped saving people to make like drive his rent prices down.
That was also such a subtle moment in the movie where his neighbor says hi to him, so he immediately moves up to the attic.
Yeah.
He's just so like uncomfortable with that.
Yeah.
That was funny too when he goes in the laundry and he's wearing her tank top.
Yeah.
He's like, is that my shirt? And he's like, no. And then he walks out in the juicy couture, you know, on the butt.
Dude, he was yoked for this, by the way.
Oh my God. Dude, that Florence Pugh scene, I was ready to cover my fiance's eyes. Yeah. Like, look at Tom Holland.
He's always been like, you know, like thin, wiry, ripped, but like, he's fucking.
The dude is fucking. He could be a wrestler if he wasn't so short.
I'll say there's a shot that man was wearing a wig in this movie. Really good one, but his hairline has never looked better in these movies.
You think he's wearing a wig?
I don't know what they're doing with it. His hairline has never looked
better. I did notice his hair looked great.
His hair looked phenomenal.
It looked so good. But it looked good on the press tour, too. I'm just a Tom Holland stan.
No, Zendaya's been putting in the work with him.
Yeah.
I mean, his scenes with her looked the best.
I hope he knows how much he crushed this.
Yeah.
What?
You think
I said, I hope he knows how much he crushes. Because this, I saw an interview. He was on Happy, Sad, Confused. And he said, I'm more nervous for this to come out than I even was Homecoming. He's like, I feel like I put way more into this and the stakes are way higher for me personally. I hope he had the best weekend ever. I'm just sure. Dude, we nailed it.
You just get this news. You don't even need to see like the Rotten Tomatoes or anything. Yeah. You just broke every fucking record that a box office has.
I beat Endgame by myself.
Right after Odyssey 2. Like, what a fucking month, man. What a run. What a month.
What a year in that household.
Can I also say, so my building, so I live in Roosevelt Island.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to ask you, did it get leveled? Did it get leveled by damage control?
I basically live damage control area.
It is like where they CGI'd you out, right?
Roughly, yeah. Yes. Like, my apartment.
I think it was like the softball fields.
My dog's dog walk is gone. Things are just gone. They did keep the lighthouse at the end of the island, which was nice. But half the island is gone. Damage control took my island.
Am I crazy? Does Roosevelt Island get fucked with a lot in Spider-Man? I think Roosevelt Island gets fucked with a lot in Spider-Man. Isn't like the first movie, like the wire
on the cable, tram?
That's on the tram, Roosevelt Island. Yeah.
I also think in Batman vs. Superman, I know it's Gotham and Metropolis. I think there's like a Roosevelt Island-esque thing where the final battle takes place.
Yeah.
Right? It's like a little island between.
Yeah, that was during the whole time where they said like, we got to take the fight elsewhere. Yeah. That's when everyone was like, we got to stop killing people.
They destroyed all of Metropolis and Man of Steel.
And if you're not from New York, you're probably like, by the way, 12,000 people live on Roosevelt Island. It's not like it's a big place.
Very tiny.
6,000 in Spider-Man's world.
I saw it the first time on 34th Street, and there's in the opening, like the tank chase or whatever, Punisher's like, just came past 34th Street. And I swear everyone in the theater was a little sassy. Like, here we are. Oh, my God.
But I appreciate the representation by Spider-Man.
Yeah, it was nice. Thank you.
Final thing is the post-credit scene. So the post-credit scene uses the spider tracker, which I thought was very funny, by the way. Especially when we saw what it was, and it's like this really corny old like Nintendo video game style.
It was like a Pokédex.
With
or something.
The Spider-Man theme?
Yeah,
perfect. Yeah. Oh, the Spider-Man theme was good. Yeah, I like that. It was good.
So they show space, and they show Spider-Man sighting, and it ends with the Spider-Man sighting in space. So that can mean a couple things. I won't spoil anything. I've seen rumors on Doomsday. I haven't seen any leaks, but I've seen rumors. I've seen some things. The one I'll talk about that made the most sense to me would be that the post-credit for Thunderbolts shows the spaceship of the Fantastic Four, a spaceship that we haven't seen yet, coming into orbit around Earth, but it's in space. Could that mean, like, is fucking Tobey Maguire Spider-Man on that spaceship with them? A lot of rumors that he's in it. Could that just be another planet or universe they're on? That's what I assume they were implying, because it has been confirmed that it ties into Doomsday and that's related to. So I assume it means another Spider-Man, because we are going to get that. That's my only takeaway.
What are the chances we get a new, younger Spider-Man, whether that's Miles Morales or a different Peter Parker?
I think
Ben
it's
Riley
smart
situation.
For them to slowly introduce it the way they introduced Spider-Man in Civil War. If they're going to introduce Miles Morales.
I love Tom Holland, and I think he's been phenomenal in this role. He's 31, 32.
He's got two more. But I think he's got two
why
more.
Why can't Peter Parker get older?
He can get older.
He's got a trilogy after this for sure. Like,
he can
no
get older,
doubt,
but
two more.
They're going to want a teenage Spider-Man.
And I think they should have one so he could pass on what Tony taught him.
It is like
they're doing step into the mentor role.
What they're doing, trying to do in Lanterns,
I assume this is Kevin Feige, like, putting his foot down on Amy Pascal to be like, just fucking wait. The fact that they haven't made a Miles Morales live action is kind of crazy, because they make live action.
You're saying you think they're waiting until after the animated is done?
Maybe. Well, at this point, when's that going to be?
I know.
10 years.
I know.
I think if Sony had their way, we'd already have seen Miles Morales. Because look at what has existed with the Sony Spider-Man universe. If Spider-Man had a fucking booger and it came to life, they'd make a fucking spin-off movie about it. Like, the fact they haven't made it off of a character which is crazy successful in these Spider-Verse movies is nuts. And I would assume that's where Feige probably is like, hold on, let's wait. But it's natural that the next Spider-Man is Miles Morales. Like, why would it not be?
Yeah,
it has to be.
Yeah.
I also took the post-credit scene initially. I took it as like a Secret Wars tease, you know, like Battle World is going to become a thing. Yeah. Spider-Man goes off world. I kind of took it as that, like, did Spider-Man get teleported and they're showing us
they
this
said
in the future?
Doomsday, though, because that would make sense.
I know.
That
sense,
but
so
they said Doomsday.
That
so
makes
I
me think maybe you're right about it being like a Toby
because you wouldn't
tease.
See that. I saw someone reply to me. I posted it on, I think, our Discord. I said, they're like, well, where's the ship? But I'm like, but the spaceship wouldn't show up on the app.
No.
Like, so it would be
some
so
people were
really
poking
thought.
Holes in that too. They're like, how could you have GPS technology in space on the Spidey? It's like, again, it ain't that kind of fucking movie, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Somebody, it's a fun little,
I thought some of that, they're like, some of the physics with this movie. I'm like, come on, what are we?
The GPS is a bit of a security issue for Spider-Man, though. No, right? Like, anybody can just log on to this tracker and be like,
fine. Yeah, it's not great for him.
It's a problem for him. Jean Grey tells him, you're a very easy guy to track.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's like a Waymo, not Waymo, Waze system, mm-hmm, right? Yeah. Where it's all self-reported, yeah, type stuff. Like, that's, yeah, what it is, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people just get spotted. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that was fun to talk about that movie. We all loved it. We're obviously big fans of Spider-Man. And I'm glad people like it and are fucking seeing it. Curious the legs it has. I saw Clemmer, you and Robbie were tweeting about it a little bit. Superhero movies don't typically have legs quite like some other movies. But the fact, I will say this about the IMAX thing. The IMAX thing is a sign of maybe they do believe it's going to have legs. Will it impact? It's less about like, will it impact the audience, more of like, clearly they think like, hey, this is going to be something that people continue to go see, so we'll see how it does.
I mean, this isn't Supergirl. It's going to have a 70% drop. Like, and also, if it had a 50% drop, what does that even mean? It still means it made
half a bill, yeah, or whatever.
Like, what does it make next weekend? Like, $200 million? Like, or whatever, $180 million? Like, we're in kind of a stratosphere now where it's like, all the rules kind of go out the window, and you're kind of just like, what is next week going to be? I don't know.
Are we thinking $2 billion worldwide?
Oh, I think it's on
how
the table.
Do it, how do they do in China? Like, how do they do?
I heard China was underwhelming.
I think it made, didn't they make like $800-900 million just this weekend?
Made 900, yeah.
Yeah, like, I think $2 billion on the table. Why, how can it not be?
It's obviously on the table because it's right there, right? You're halfway there after a weekend. Yeah.
We're kind of in uncharted territory other than Endgame.
Homecoming, like, it made $116 million Homecoming did in China, so that's pretty fucking good. Made $50 million in South Korea. Like, it does pretty well in Asia, it seems. Like, not great, but
yeah. I think everything's on the table for this movie right now. And I also think it's a thing where people now, it's such a big movie now, people are going to be like, you know what? I wasn't, well, I think I should go see it.
Oh, I've got people texting me that I'm like, this person hasn't seen a single movie since Endgame. Right. And they're like, should I go see a new Spider-Man? I'm like, right, fuck yeah, you should. Yeah.
This is what Marvel needs, the breakthrough to the average person.
Absolutely.
Now, we had this discussion 2 weeks ago. We don't have to get into the big debate again. We can just like kind of surface level cover it. I do think this is going to give them the bump that they needed for, like, when that, now, what they show, there's a lot of heat to the rumor that Tobey Maguire is in Doomsday. I think it would be very smart of them to show that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they should probably tease that now, yeah.
Would I hate to see the reveal in a trailer? Yes, but let's take away our fandom. Yeah. Let's put on the business cap. Let's put on the Kevin Feige black hat with a logo hat. Is there a hat with the hat?
Somebody there should be a hat with it. We should
We're gonna sell
it.
That. We're gonna sell that.
Hat.
Yeah,
it would be very smart to piggyback off of that.
It's also like we already saw him in No Way Home. It's not like the first time Toby's back, you know. Yeah. So it's like,
and it sounds
might
like
as well.
Tom Holland's not in that movie.
I don't think he is.
That's what people are pretty adamant about that. Now, who knows? It's pretty heavily implied that there's a lot of shit that people don't know about that movie. But I do think it's gonna give it the bump it needs. Now, the funny thing is, we also talked about this part. I said, and I could end up being wrong on this, because this now made more than I ever thought it would make. I said I think if it made a lot of money, it would then push Doomsday up past it. But now this is, even if Doomsday does really well, like, Doomsday could do insane, but still potentially have issues with this movie now because of like the Dune thing and the theater thing. It is kind of interesting how that happened. This made so much more than I thought. But I do think it's going to give the positive bump. This was a huge, huge win for the MCU.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And Sony, but also Disney in that respect.
Yeah.
I saw someone say they think Doomsday is going to make money comparable to Infinity War. And if that's really good, if people like Doomsday a lot, Secret Wars would be the one that makes money comparable to Endgame. I do agree with that.
Mm-hmm. I also think the shit they might throw out in Secret Wars could be like all-time people just going, whoa, holy.
Yeah.
Like, that has like a holy fuck movie written all over it potentially. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. And hopefully Eternals 2 comes out.
Honestly, hopefully DC takes advantage of this opportunity, because they're going to have like a couple years slate where they're going to have like not really a lot of competition.
True.
So maybe they can make some good movies.
That goes
that
back
stretch
to what I was saying, how like people don't seem to want new things. Like, they want Spider-Man, they want Avengers. The appetite for new heroes,
like,
doesn't seem, mm-hmm, and I think DC's in a real problem.
I still think Marvel has such a good slate of, like, Spider-Man's a sure thing, Black Panther's a sure thing, Deadpool's a sure thing. You have a decent amount of them in Marvel.
Avengers,
if you
sure
wanted
things
to run Guardians back one day, they're going to do that. They had the Guardians Will Return. Like, that's kind of a sure thing.
Yeah.
You have a lot of them in Marvel now.
Yeah,
you got enough. Yeah. And DC doesn't really have, other than Batman, which they're not even part of their universe. Yeah. They don't really have much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't even think Superman's a sure thing.
I mean,
Wonder Woman.
I don't know if she is either. Like, Superman was in a movie this year, and nobody saw it.
I know, that's bad.
You know, like, that's... and he had great scenes in that movie.
Yeah, but... scenes were the best part of that movie.
Yeah.
So next week we're going to talk about One Night Only from Will Gluck with Barbaro and Callum Turner, who was in The Office, by the way, on Chicks in the Office. We're also going to talk about Tony, I think, the Matt Johnson movie.
Very excited.
Don McSessa. Actually, my mom does not watch movies, not a movie person. Just watches The Friends and The Nanny. And I always say, you got to branch out. She's like, I don't like movies. I made her watch movies this weekend. We watched Blackberry, which, by the way, had no idea. Blackberry on my disc from Umbrella Entertainment is a miniseries. It was three episodes.
Oh, I knew they re-edited it like that. Yeah.
And then I showed her. She'd never seen Social Network. So we watched both those. But to my point, rewatch Blackberry, and I just got so pumped to see this Anthony Bourdain movie, which I was supposed to see a screener tonight, not able to make it, so I'm bummed. But we've heard great things already.
Huge things.
We'll talk about that. And then potentially, from the director of – I only just saw this. From the director of The Transporter 2.
Oh, fucking European. What's his name?
The Incredible Hulk, Edward Norton, Clash of the Titans –
Luc Besson?
Now You See Me.
No, it's a Louis Leterrier.
Grimsby, yes. The Takedown, Fast 10, comes The Last House on Netflix, but it's got Wagner Moore and Greta Lee in it.
That's right. I saw the premiere of that.
What is this movie?
The hell is that movie?
Family of four are suddenly The Last House, a sci-fi thriller. A family of four are suddenly sealed inside their home with no way out and must work together to survive against both their dwindling resources and the mysterious looming threat that is keeping them trapped. I don't care who makes it. Wagner Moore and Greta Lee. I'm like, well, now I gotta watch. Like, what is this?
Mm-hmm. What's great the name of that Anne Hathaway, Ewan McGregor? The Last House on Oak Street?
The End of Oak Street.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. I was like, are there two Last House movies coming out this month?
Yeah, it seems like different execution, but yeah, same like
both sci-fi movies. Yeah,
another twin film, one for us to review.
I won't be on next week. I'm going to miss the Tony talk.
Oh, you missed Tony's. Damn.
So I will say, we'll check Tony. I don't know how wide it is.
It won't be.
I don't
want to. Oh, no. No, it won't be wide next week. Next week, it's only going to be in New York.
We'll wait for the Bourdain. We'll do the Netflix movie. We'll do this.
Do that when I'm gone. Do the Netflix
movie. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Stream away, boys. Stream away.
those are two fantastic people.
Wagner Moura.
I love Greta Lee.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch made direct to video movies. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. J. Jonah Clemerson.
Stream away.
Who are we kidding? I'm going to watch it anyway. But now I'm like, going to make it a priority to watch. I'm like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. Super Troopers 3 is also coming out, which I like.
Oh, God. Oh, so is the Eli Roth movie, Ice Cream Man.
Oh, yeah, kind of. I hate that trailer so much.
Seems upsetting to me. I don't like the torture porn. Too. Oh, is it good?
Oh, no, is it? I like Eli Roth.
I don't like the torture porn stuff. It makes me upset.
I don't like that. I just like him, really.
I feel like I've been told to like him for so long, and I think I just don't like him.
He kind of stinks.
Yeah, I feel like he's like, he's a big creepy horror guy. He likes horror movies. I don't like any of his movies.
No.
I really don't like his movies.
I didn't see his Thanksgiving movie, but I love that trailer.
Thanksgiving? Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah,
you know the trailer he made.
I haven't heard of this.
He made a trailer before the Grindhouse double feature, and it was like a fictional movie. But like last year, he made the movie.
Oh, okay.
Is this a remake? Ice Cream Man?
I don't remember.
There's an Ice Cream Man movie with Clint Howard from the 80s.
Oh, huh? Maybe it is.
That's actually a Vinegar Syndrome release.
Well, if you're gonna make a movie with a creepy ice cream guy, Clint Howard, you couldn't pick better.
Yeah,
what a great.
You
got to
bring him back though for it. No,
seriously.
And Vinegar Syndrome, the great boutique label, they release some of the worst movies literally ever made, but also like the great Roadhouse 4K. They just released Ice Cream Man this week with Clint Howard.
It has to be related.
Has to be, right?
Yeah.
But even on the Wikipedia, it doesn't mention this as a remake of who's the other person who did Edgar Wright has one of those short trailers, right?
I think he does, yeah.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
And he always jokes, he's always like, people always ask me, can we get a full version? He goes, the full version exists. I've said what I need to say about that one. All right, anything we've watched? Thrones, I think, great. I think, by the way, shout out Silo. Silo's back.
Oh, I got to get back in on that. I heard Silo's the season's good. Yeah.
First couple episodes were a slog this season, but now it's getting good.
Good.
But Thrones good.
Two things. Ken Jack Gooch and I, Deja Vu. Talk about
it. Yeah, new twin. We're doing like a little mini series on twin films where we take movies that are similar that are released around the same time period. We put them up against each other, grade them, decide which one's the better. We did Prestige versus The Illusionist this week. Very fun watch. Very fun to do.
It's out right now.
Yeah, it's out right now. You can watch it right now. And also, we are doing next week, I believe, Dante's Peak and a Volcano.
We're going to come out every 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, we'll do them every bi-monthly.
One of the best twin film examples of all time.
And then Robbie Fox and I are doing Super Critics.
Yep.
And we just did one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Oh, agreed.
The Crow City of Angels.
got a half
the Crow
star
sequels
on each of
are so fucking
like,
bad.
It's just horrific. And then
horrendous. Past your bar.
Yeah.
Horrendous.
It was released in theaters. And then
it was number one the week it was released.
Labor Day, number one. And then the next movie, it gets even better for us. Batman and Robin is coming out.
One of Jeff's favorite, the Bat Card.
But that's fun. That's a fun one to talk about.
Did you record that one already?
No, not yet. Tomorrow with a giant guest, Tommy Smokes.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's a
Tommy
that's
Smokes is coming out to do the fourth movie in series.
Smokes on that one. Yeah. I that's one of my favorite movies ever made.
If you next time you're here, come jump on with us.
Yeah, the Bat Card, Never Feet, Never Leave Home.
One. I'm excited to watch that.
This weekend, I watched a bunch of late '90s, early 2000s like nostalgia movies. Mm. So I watched Drop Dead Gorgeous for the first time, which hasn't aged great, but it was fun to watch. It's just got an amazing cast: Allison Janney and Amy Adams and Kirsten Dunst. Then I watched The Mummy for the first time, which was a pretty fun movie.
Yeah.
I'd never seen The Mummy.
Oh, wow.
I said I expected, based on the way I've heard about it my whole life, it to be a little less just like Indiana Jones clone-ish, but it's just an Indiana Jones movie where Brendan Fraser is basically just playing Harrison Ford. They call
he's
him
a
scoundrel
dumb, no,
100
he's a,
times.
He's a himbo. He's not Indiana Jones.
But they're like, he's just a scoundrel that you can't trust. And I'm like, all right, I get it.
No, he's a big dummy, but he's not smart. Indiana Jones is always been smart. True. Like, Brendan Fraser is kind of a dummy.
But
like, his wife is a smart one.
CGI has not aged great,
I've never seen a movie sober.
Oh, really?
It was like on the background of a lot of like parties I went to.
It was fun. It was good.
I watched a few black and white movies over the weekend, some Cagney ones. The Roaring Twenties and The Public Enemy, which is pretty cool because like when you watch those older like 30s black and white movies, a lot of actors, I feel like the direction they get given is say every line you have as fast as you can.
Yeah.
Do not try to act it out.
Yeah.
So they just say everything they can really, really, really fast, but there's no emotion behind it. But then Cagney like really delivers lines like we would more imagine a modern actor doing it, like with emotion and like something to it. And he's just so good.
That's the George Lucas, right? He would always just be like faster and more intense. Actors would be like, that is not a good note.
No. It's terrible. Yeah.
Some good two big things I got this week. Huge releases. This is a big one. Stranger Things came out in 4K.
Oh, that's sick.
And I watched good chunks of the first two seasons. Looks fucking unbelievable. Like maybe the greatest example as to physical overstreaming that's ever existed.
Wow.
It's kind of crazy. Cool box set.
That's Sean Levy direction.
Shout out. Mm-hmm. Join our Discord, the film crew. It's not really our Discord. They took it over from us, but I'm very active in there. I do raffles like once every 6 months. And I give away every movie that I replace or like upgrade to 4K. And I got two of these and I gave this away.
Oh, that's very nice.
So join our physical media lounge. We actually have a guy in there and we do fun ways to do the raffles. Like I actually built a website. I put everybody in a bracket and it gives 5 random movies for my rankings. And whoever had the higher average of my movies moved on in the bracket. And that's how we determine the order for the draft.
Funny.
So they draft. We have a guy in there whose name is Gungan Man, and he only speaks like Jar Jar Binks the whole time. So during the raffle, when he made his pick, he literally like his message was
like Misa happy.
Let's see, what did he pick here? He just said like Misa want like the Northman. He only speaks like Jar Jar Binks. So join our Discord. It's great. So that was awesome, but this was the best release. This is the definitive way to watch Kill Bill.
Oh,
It's an even better transfer, Kill Bill Whole Bloody Affair from Lionsgate Limited. It also has the veil like on the cover.
Oh, that's
cool. Oh, that's sick.
Very cool. It looks unfucking believable. The release from Lionsgate for Kill Bill 1 and 2 a couple years ago is also very good, but this looks so damn good. Tons of special features, tons of discs. Really, really cool release. So shout out to those two. Those were two big releases this week.
I've never done the whole Bloody Affair. I want to do that. I want to watch it as one. I've only ever watched part
it is.
One,
it
two.
Works as people always thought it would. It works fantastic.
Yeah.
Very cool.
What's your favorite genre of movie? Action? Drama? Comedy? Sci-fi? Well, I can tell you what mine is. And that's Jason Statham mowing down bad guys in a one-man crusade. And good news for me. My beloved action hero returns to theaters next month with his newest film, Mutiny. The film is described as Die Hard on a boat, and if that doesn't sell you, just go check out the trailer right now. I personally recommend the second trailer, which features not only Jason Statham doing Jason Statham things, but also as Muhammad Ali's I'm the Greatest speech running in the background, which is basically a cheat code to get me in the theaters opening weekend. This time, Jason Statham's on a mission to expose an international conspiracy and uncover a human trafficking ring. Can he pull it off? Make sure to see Mutiny only in theaters on August 21st and find out.
Here we go. Top 10 worst superhero. Top 10 worst Marvel and DC castings. Marvel and DC only. There's a couple bangers on here. First couple, though, only two people had. And there's one that was a Clemmer and I had this person in our top 10. They didn't make the list, number 11. I was devastated. Related to a movie we may have just mentioned. Number 10, the worst Marvel and DC casting. Robbie Foxx and I had this person. I had it 6. He had it 5. I like this guy. I think he's fantastic in Oppenheimer. That's Dane DeHaan as Green Goblin / Harry Osborn. I like him. I'm a defender of the movie Valerian. I think you all suck that you don't like Valerian. I like Valerian.
I like Valerian
Dane
too.
DeHaan was bad. This was a wildly bad character. Bad miscasting. Great example of just... I don't think people watch the full Amazing Spider-Man 2 when they say they like
it. No, they watch in clips. They definitely watch in clips. TikTok. Yes.
Because this movie stinks.
It's unwatchable. I love Spider-Man. Yeah. It's unwatchable. It is so bad. He's so bad. It's supposed to be Harry Osborn. It's everything like I don't like about Harry Osborn. It just doesn't work at all. Like the scene where he drops Gwen. Good scene. It's well done. Like the web swinging scenes are great. Everything else in the movie is horrendous. Jamie Foxx is... dreadful.
Terrible.
Just absolutely terrible in the movie.
So bad that they were like, we're just not going to do that in No Way Home.
No, they were like, the electricity
fixed his face.
But yeah, oh my God, DeHaan is just horrendous casting.
When they wrote that, they were like, does this seem a little too much? And they're probably like, yeah, but fuck it, that character stinks so much. We don't even care. Like, whatever. Make it unbelievable. We don't even care.
Dude, when Garfield's Spider-Man is talking to DeHaan by like the river, and he's like, Spider-Man, or a woman, yeah. We don't know.
Yeah. it's so bad.
The DeHaan-essence is coming though.
He's a good actor.
I don't think he's a bad actor either. I don't think he's a bad actor at all.
He was great in Oppenheimer. You're right. Yeah.
Excellent in Oppenheimer. Yeah. He is a piece of shit in Oppenheimer. Next up, number 9. Me and Gooch have this one. I actually was very surprised that Clem or Robbie didn't have this person. I wonder if people disagree with this one. Two movies. I think he is a huge problem in both of these. Chris O'Donnell is Robin in Batman.
I don't think he's that bad.
Number 5 for me. I think he is that loser when his family dies in the first. What a loser scene that
what
is.
What the hell?
He's a loser. He saves Gotham. He takes the bomb out.
He's 37 years old in Batman and Robin.
We just covered this. He was the best. He might have been the best part of Batman Forever.
He's got some good scenes of Batman Forever. Him and Alfred. Being.
The best part of Batman Forever is the
Batman
bat tunnel.
Kills his bike. He's on the statue. He's yelling like that's terrible.
Come on,
he's got some good scenes with Alfred in that movie.
Who would have saved that movie? Like what?
Not Chris O'Donnell.
Not Chris.
You know, I do agree totally now that you say it. He was definitely too old to be cast, so I understand it from that perspective, but I think the performance he gives makes up for it a little bit. I think he's okay.
It's not great, but that movie stinks, and he is the only human being in that movie. The next Batman and Robin.
Oh, like they're all like caricature.
Yeah. Batman and Robin, I have no defense. But like everyone's bad in that movie. So it's almost like, all right, what do I do here?
I said he reminded me of like Elias Koteas in Ninja Turtles. He was almost like a Casey Jones personality.
A human
figure.
Being among like cartoons.
Yeah.
You didn't like think Nicole Kidman's 21-year-old what's her career in this one?
Oh yeah. Chase Meridian. She's
Meridian, yeah. Great. What a character.
Chase Infinity, named after her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
That's right.
Chris O'Donnell gets
he's a loser watching his family die. He's a
terrible actor. What Robins are above him? In your mind,
not many, because like there's not been a lot.
There's only one other Robin live action.
Yeah. Like that's it.
That's a character that's like, great in the comics and terrible.
I don't know if it's just like because there's
no comparison. What did you just say?
I say great in the comics, but terrible mostly on screen.
Thank God. So Dick Grayson is my favorite. Comic Nightwing hero ever. Nightwing for life. I just couldn't handle any Dick Grayson.
Oh no! Come on. Okay. I love it when he moves out to Bloodhaven. Let's go.
Yeah,
it's great. But I think they haven't really figured out how to do it.
I couldn't agree more
on screen at all.
stick to NCIS, buddy.
There's that the kid from Mason Thames.
Yeah.
He wants to play Dick Grayson so bad. Yeah. He was at Comic-Con. They were like, I think he could be good casting too.
He could.
Someone asked him, like, oh, who's your favorite superhero? And he went on a soliloquy about Dick Grayson where it was clear he's campaigning for a role.
What's the age for Nightwing?
Usually like early 20s.
18?
Yeah, I was going to say 18 would be a good 20. Spot. Yeah,
early
20.
He was in college. The character was in college when he went to join the Teen Titans.
Yeah.
He's fucking.
Oh,
but they were the Teen Titans, so I guess 19. I guess he wasn't 20, right?
You know what I mean? He's probably 18, 19, yeah.
But they became the Titans. So.
This one shocked me that only me. So number 10, Dane DeHaan, Green Goblin. Number 9, Chris O'Donnell, Robin. Number 8, I could not believe Ken Jeong didn't have this one on his list. Oh. I was shocked.
Who hasn't?
Thought this might be top 3. Clemmer had this one. This is my number 2.
Oh.
Oh.
Ian Gruffudd, Mr. Fantastic, Reed Richards, aka real name is Yoan Griffith. How you pronounce it?
Yeah.
But we've talked about Yoan Gruffudd on this show day one of this podcast.
There are many problems with Fantastic Four, both those movies. I don't know if I like look at that movie and I'm like, wow, it's sunk because of Ian Gruffudd's bad performance as Mr. Fantastic. He's fine.
I agree. I think he's fine.
Fine? He's not fine. He's terrible.
I think he's problem 1-1 with the movie. His charisma is a black hole in those two movies.
We'll get to it soon on Supercritics. I haven't watched it in a long time, and I remember being okay with it. I also remember thinking, like, not everyone is the best in that movie. So
yeah,
they're
pretty much
like,
all operating at a low level.
Michael Chiklis, and Michael Chiklis is like, you know, those movies are better than I think people remember. And I remember I went back and rewatched them like right after. I was like, buddy, these are fucking worse.
I think those are clip movies too. People watch those in clips for sure.
Big time, big time.
They pulled a clip of him trying to pick the ring up, and they're like,
love the wedding scene.
Oh, they love that stuff.
They love
the
wedding scene, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, you nailed it, Jeff. His charisma could not be any lower. Like, there is no. He has. It might be one of the least charismatic performances on film.
He's no Pedro Pascal.
He's no Pedro Pascal.
I don't think he's the worst Mr. Fantastic.
I was about to say, I don't even know that Mr.
Fantastic. Oh. I haven't seen that one.
Oh, yeah. Hold on to that one. Hold on to that one.
I don't know if he's the worst one.
And I haven't seen that one, so I can put him on my list.
You haven't seen that one?
No.
Yeah, right.
Oh, wait.
You guys have seen this one.
I think you're talking about a smaller screen sample size is what you're talking about.
Might be even less charisma. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I'd agree with that for sure.
I know what you're talking about now.
Number seven. I have it at 3. Robbie has it at 3. Gooch has it at 15. Topher Grace is Eddie Brock / Venom from Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, an actor I really love too.
Venom,
I think Topher Grace
is worse than the Eddie Brock.
Yes, I don't even love as Eddie Brock, but like just completely miscast as Venom to the point where I think Topher Grace says that all the time in interviews now, where he's like, "Yeah, that wasn't right." And I think Topher Grace is a really great actor. Like, Black Klansman Topher Grace, my God.
Oh, so good.
Dude, I just rewatched How to Make a Killing. He's so good in that.
Yeah.
Like, How to Make a Killing, he's really good. He's also good in Heretic. It's a small role. But
yeah.
I like the career he's kind of going on now. This was a just miss for me, by the way. This was 16th on my list, if you will.
Yeah. I think he's pretty awful. And I also think the Venom stuff is where the movie falls off a cliff. Like, I think the Sandman first act is really good.
Couldn't agree more.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I rewatched it last night. It was the final of my rewatches, and that's how this ended. I was kind of back and forth. I was like, is Topher as bad as I remember? He just really miscast.
Yeah.
Like, they got him in a leather jacket with frosted tips trying to be a bad boy. Yeah. It's just like, why did you cast Topher Grace?
Yeah. Just Eric Foreman in that role? Like, what? Crazy.
Where the Ashton Kutcher might have been good at it. And like, if you want to take another
person. Honestly, I think Ashton would have been a better casting at that point. Especially, yeah.
Number 6, I have it at 15. Robbie has it at 4. Gooch has it at 1. I think there's only for this person that
a single person
terrible in it. But it's there's so many other issues, and that's Ezra Miller, the Flash.
Yeah,
you have it at 1.
Yeah, I think he's terrible. I never liked his rendition of the character. And on top of that, off the field, just fucking mess.
Yeah.
This is a casting. Like, it's a casting.
So are we counting? I think he was cast
before all that, was he not?
He was cast before all that.
I factored it in just enough where I was like, it needs to be on my list.
Oh, he's a good. I think he's a good Flash. I'm also the only person in the world that likes the Flash movie. So
I actually like the Flash movie. I don't like
you, James Gunn and Tom Cruise love that movie.
That's fine. I do. I like it a lot. I think he's a good Flash.
Good trio.
But if you want to say that's bad casting because you cast someone who's like an insane.
All that shit happened later. All that shit happened later, though.
I don't think he's likable on. I don't think he's winning in any moment on screen.
Me neither.
He's like, really? Yeah. I never he's so feel myself wanting to root for him at any point. It's tough.
I never had a problem with him, but also I'm not a big Flash person. Like the CW show, I never liked. Like I don't really like any of those renditions of the show or the character.
I think it's a great character, and it hasn't been done.
And I kind of like the first season of the CW show is pretty enjoyable. But I like the Flash because it almost seemed like they told him to rein it in. When there's two versions of him, and the one is the more mature version, is the one is the more zany, wacky version. Like, I don't like that zany wackiness. No. I hated it in Justice League. I hated it whenever he would show up, really. And for a while, I felt like I was on an island with that, but I think people have come around.
Yeah.
Next up on the list, number five. Four or five of us have this person. I'm going to let Ken Jack go. Myself had it at 8, Ken Jack 3, Robbie 12, Gooch 14, Gal Gadot Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Yeah. That
was I think, fine in the first movie.
I was going to say I went back and forth on her because of that.
It got worse and worse and worse and worse as it went on.
I think maybe part of the first movie thing, like it kind of being more forgivable, is like they set up a decent world, I think, with Amazonia, and like she's kind of buried in it. Like there's a lot of other stuff happening where like she doesn't have to carry the load emotionally or doesn't really have to act that much. Just kind of like a physical presence, which she certainly has. She's such a fucking bad actor. Like, she's so, so bad. And the fact that she had to highlight then in later iterations really hurt that character a ton, which sucks. So, yeah, really bad.
Am I the only person that didn't have her? Because I actually think she's a decent Wonder Woman. I think she's a terrible actress. I think those two things can live in the same world.
Sure. I thought she was a good Wonder Woman in the first movie, but it's such a fish out of water type thing. Where eventually you need her to evolve, and she never did.
Evolve. Yeah,
where that was where I was like, all right, she is going to make my list, because I also think she was just in a really good movie, and Chris Pine gives such a good performance in the first Wonder Woman that I feel like he's handling the emotional weight of that movie for a lot of it. And after that, like, man, she falls off a cliff.
When you think about some of the other actresses, like ones that we even fan cast as Gal Gadot, as Wonder Woman now, we're like, man, imagine if any of those people had the role.
I know.
Like, imagine if like Adriana Arjona had that role, or well, like,
it sounds like she's gonna get that.
Yeah, like imagine if someone like who had chops had that role instead, how much better it would be. That's why I think it's more of like a miscast in that sense. But like as a statue of like a giant, like physically formidable person as Wonder Woman, yeah, fits the look. Doesn't have the chops.
Yeah,
I think.
Agreed.
Number four. Okay, so number 10, Dane DeHaan, Green Goblin. Number 9, Chris O'Donnell, Robin. Number 8, Yon Griffith, Mr. Fantastic. Topher Grace, Eddie Brock. 7, 6, Ezra Miller, The Flash. 5, Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman. 4, I love this one. Should have been higher on my list. 9 for me, Robbie 14, Gooch 5, Clemmer 5, Tommy Lee Jones, Two-Face. Which, here's my one thing with this. I always forget this because I've seen behind the scenes on this movie. I've watched interviews. I'm obsessed with these two movies. They're fascinating movies. Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. What was that, a Schumacher direction to be the Joker, or was it a Tommy Lee Jones decision to be the Joker following Jack Nicholson? Because that is what it's two Jokers. The Riddler and Two-Face are just the Joker.
He was trying to match this movie.
And that always drives me nuts, but like, who's more at fault there?
I think he was just having a bad time on that set.
I think he was trying to match Jim Carrey's freak.
Yeah.
it's such a bizarre, like, there are times in that movie, if we just covered it on Super Critics, there are times in that movie where he is just laughing at nothing. Like, for no, like, just, at, like, in yeah. a, he's in the side, corner of the screen, just like laughing hysterically. Two-Face is such an interesting layered comic book character. We see it obviously in the Nolan movies, but even in the comics, like, there's so much to Two-Face. And Tommy Lee Jones is such a great actor. You think that'd be a great combination? Instead, ends up being the worst combination ever.
Yeah, I had him 14 on my list. Honestly, when I got to the like 10 through 15, it was almost hard for me to come up with names. And we were talking about it before we started recording. Like, for the most part, comic book movies have done a good job with castings. But yeah, like, it was just, like you guys said, he was playing the Joker more than he was playing Two-Face. And when you see someone like Aaron Eckhart, like, really sink his teeth into Harvey Dent, even in just the one movie, he's so good in that, yeah, this is just, it doesn't work.
It's weird. I almost don't view those as real movies. Like, in my head, I'm like, yeah, that was, like, a weird sideshow project. Like, they are, obviously. But, like, in my head, I don't look at, you know, Jim Carrey Riddler or, like, Two-Face. I'm like, wow, how'd they fuck that up that bad? I'm like, those were just fucking stupid movies.
He almost plays it like everything. It was Two-Face in the 60s Adam West series. Like, and he doesn't, like, insert Two-Face things into it. It's just, like, that over the top.
You know what's crazy is when that third one came out, it was better received than Batman Returns. Like, for a number of years. The only time it actually shifted is when Batman and Robin came out. And then finally it's like, well, actually, Batman Returns is really good.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, for a while, people thought Batman Forever was, like, a superior movie.
It's they really aren't real movies. To me, they're just childhood nostalgia. I have, like, a rule with some of my movies that I buy that, like, there's a level, like, I won't buy for the shit movie. Like, that's with Marvel. I have a lot of Marvel, but, like, there's some I'll just never buy. Those two movies completely break through the glass ceiling on that. Because they're just, they mean so much to me growing up. Like, they were just incredible.
Is there like a sick 4K box set of like the Schumacher movies?
Has to be.
No, I have two steelbooks. I'd absolutely take. Take like a special edition of the Tim Burton
Planet with the Forever Cut too. Yeah.
There's these old like a garbage nostalgia to them that I just love, and they're just so funny. One of the greatest Easter eggs in the history of comic movies is the Riddler and Two-Face's outfits being hung up like it's at the dry cleaners in Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
Like in Batman and Robin. They're just hanging up there in the background.
It's weird enough because I don't even know if it's necessarily that it's like a bad casting or just like bad direction, bad performance. Because like
that is why I said at the beginning there is a little bit to that.
Yeah, like told me like in the mid '90s, like yeah, we're casting Tommy Lee Jones as Two Face, like that sounds awesome. That is a great casting. Yes. That is
in my head. Famously said, Joel Schumacher fucked up my Batman movies.
It's a great casting, terrible performance, terrible direction.
It's the Schumacher. It's the Schumacherness. Like Tommy Lee Jones cannot perform well in a movie as gay as Joel Schumacher. That's very good. That's just not Tommy Lee Jones.
You know what? Maz Luhrmann should have done those movies.
A lot of buffoonery.
Listen, don't get me ideas. Now I'm thinking about a Baz Luhrmann comic book movie, and it doesn't look bad in my head. Oh. It doesn't look bad.
It's called Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, exactly.
It exists in its ass.
I think you've never seen it. I've just decided. I'm in my head canon. That's why I don't like it.
I raise my thumb at you, sir, with like the Beretta. That's so fucking stupid.
One of the greatest texts of all time. The one thing about me, I mean, that is it's so against the type of shit that I like, but I think that's why I like it, because it's like it's presented in a way that's so unconventional. It's our biggest gap in
any movie I think,
ever.
Yeah.
Next up, relevance to this podcast, number three. 11 for me, 4 for Ken Jack, 8 for Robbie, 4 for Gucci. Not on Clemmers. Sophie Turner, Jean Grey.
Dreadful.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen this, then that's why.
Very wooden.
Oh, she'd be on your list if it was. Dreadful. So you haven't, have you not seen First Class?
Or Apocalypse?
No.
Or...
I haven't seen that group of
X-Men. Yeah. Or Dark
I've
Phoenix.
I've seen the first, like,
Dark
Phoenix. She's not in
First Class.
Yeah.
Two or three X-Men.
She's in Apocalypse and Dark Phoenix.
Dude, Dark Phoenix is her
and
movie.
She in Days of Future?
She's
Past?
In First Class. I don't remember her
first
being
class.
In
First Class. She's in First Class.
She's in First Class. I don't remember her being in Days of Future Past, but that's because everyone's like class. Dead.
I think she'd be too young to be in First
like
Class.
She's a bad actress.
She's really bad. She's
honestly,
really
bad a performance actress. Like almost like a Star Wars prequel level
Apocalypse
performance.
And Dark Phoenix.
You know, what she reminds me of in that movie a lot. Like, do you remember the person who plays? If you're talking about prequels, like the person who plays the Queen's stand-in,
Rose Byrne or Keira Knightley?
I guess not Keira Knightley. Like the one who like it's like no oh, the second one where she's like Rose we must Byrne? Defend ourselves against the bad guys like, dreadful like, it she's so fucking
when she's
wooden.
Yelling as dark as the Phoenix it's like she has to like poop like I know that's mean he's like no, wait Bad Santa we've all seen Bad Santa right
yeah.
You know when he tells the kid to scream? He goes, yell, get mad. And he's like, that's what she yells. And that's like all I think about.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It when I think about this character, and she's just so bad, it just doesn't work.
She was so bad, I didn't see Dark Phoenix. Still haven't seen it.
It's not missing.
There's
not
an X-Men
much.
Movie I haven't seen because I thought she was so dreadful. Apocalypse is not a good movie. And then Dark Phoenix reviews were so unbelievably bad that I was like, I don't have to bother myself.
The funniest
with that.
Thing about Dark Phoenix is that in Dark Phoenix, the villains were going to be the Skrulls, played by Jessica Chastain. And I think Kevin Feige and Marvel were like, hey, we're doing Skrulls in Captain Marvel. What's your villain? Skrulls. He's like, no, you're not. Yeah. They're like, yeah, sure. Yep. Okay. And they just change it to like generic alien.
Changeling alien.
Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They fumbled the Dark Phoenix saga twice. Let's hope Marvel does it right.
Yeah. I mean, that's again why it's so stark, which how good Sadie Sink was.
She was just natural. She just felt like a real person.
Yeah, like an actual human being.
Another not to get into MCU debate again. Kevin Feige cares so deeply about the X-Men that is another thing that I do know he like it's all led to this for him. So I do that I kind of trust
him. It's where he started his career. He was like,
yeah, right. And I think
he was like an assistant producer on the first X-Men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he knows how these things end up. I think he's very aware of how things have gone recently. I think they were smart to not like cast show all the casting for X-Men at Comic-Con. So I do hope that.
Oh, just wait till D23.
Replays it right. Mm-hmm. Number two, I hate doing this one. Great friend of this show, Lex Luthor, Jesse Eisenberg. We all had him on
the
list.
That was a bad one.
I will say this. This is maybe the best example of what this list is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Worst cast. Like, it just didn't work. 13 for me, 5 for Kenjack, 2 for Robbie, 11 for Gooch, 2 for Klemmer.
Yeah, it just didn't work. And it's exactly right. I mean, Jesse Eisenberg is one of the best actors, one of my favorite actors. If I see him in a movie, I'm going, no matter what. The funny thing is, you could even see, he's such a smart guy. He knows it's not working. You see it on his face. You see it in his line delivery. You know he's like, fuck, I'm fucked here. This is a mess. And it was. Don't get me wrong. He's not the reason this movie's failed. This movie failed because Zack Snyder, this movie's just bad. But man, oh man, does he not help.
I do think, like, that is the 100% maximum best Jesse Eisenberg performance you will get out of that role. I don't think there's any point of, like, to your point, I guess. Like, he's never a problem where I'm like, he didn't try hard enough.
Yeah.
He didn't do a good enough job. I'm like, I don't know how much better Jesse Eisenberg could have been in this role, which is, I think, is great to the point, how bad of a casting it is.
Right.
They just wanted the character to, like, be something else, like Zack Snyder, like, I guess.
Zuckerberg.
I understand the mindset of, like,
idea.
Yeah, I get it. Like, all right, who would be the Lex Luthor today? Would it be, like, a Zuckerberg type? And you cast the guy that played Zuckerberg? It just, in it practice, doesn't work. Especially opposite Henry Cavill Superman, just like...
That's a great point.
It's a bad fit.
Yeah,
but
really bad fit.
I don't think that's, like, the wrong idea. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, Lex Luthor as a tech billionaire... It tracks. Like,
I agree.
That does make sense if you're going to update the character. It just didn't fucking work, even a little bit.
But we saw a good mix of that in the Superman movie last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was how Superman should be.
True.
You know, like, but I understand what you're saying. Like, in theory, it's like, oh, it's not a bad idea. But in reality, it just failed.
Yeah,
and you're right, against Cavill, it really doesn't work.
He's like a speech or two in the movie that I like, I think. But, like, other than that, he's, like, popping Jolly Ranchers and shit.
There's a scene where he, like, goes to Holly Hunter's, like, Chambers, because she's a judge.
Yeah.
And he, like, does, like, a country, like, he does, like, a southern accent for, like, a minute while he's, like, sipping bourbon. And it's like, what the fuck is happening here? Mm-hmm. And so it's such a big swing performance that's just whiffing.
I hated the hair choice they went with for him, too. He's got such a weird haircut in that movie. Yeah. It's just a weird, like, it doesn't feel anything like Lex.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it did kind of kick off, I think, a pretty big trend of really generic bad tech billionaire bad guys. Because I feel like we got a lot of those after.
Maxwell Lord, like the Pedro Pascal Maxwell Lord was
fucking
rough one.
Ben Mendo in Ready Player One, like shit like that, where it's just like generic
like
CEO, bad guy, tech.
I agree with you.
I don't like that character. Yeah.
And I like Ben Mendelsohn a lot.
Love Ben Mendelsohn.
One of my favorite
ones. That movie has a lot of problems. That's not just his fault.
Yeah. Nah, it's got a lot of
the same thing here.
Things going for it.
Oh, he's a Ready Player One.
I love Ready Player One.
Game Master Anthony.
I just watched it the first time, but about a month ago. Was not impressed.
Good for you. You got to watch a masterpiece.
Number one, everyone had it at one except for Rob, who had it at two. That's Jared Leto, the Joker.
Yeah. I had it at one.
Oh. Me. And Gooch had it at two.
Because I had Ezra.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Jared Leto redeemed himself, got himself out of the one hole for his, hey, Batsy, what if I gave you a reach around?
Maybe my least favorite moment in any comic book movie ever. That's so unbelievably bad. He's like, I'm going to fucking kill you, too. Like, Ben Affleck's Batman has to say the F word, because that's what a sixth grader would think is edgy, which is what Zack Snyder's
whole career was building towards that moment.
Yeah.
Like, he got into filmmaking so he could make that happen and make millions of people watch it.
So bad, man. And, like, I remember I was at a Ranger game when the first picture of Jared Leto's Joker came out.
The black and white ones?
The damage tattoo and everything.
The damage tattoo.
And I remember showing my cousin and being like, I don't think I like this. And that was like, I feel like one of the first times in my life that like a superhero movie was being teased and I was like, I'm out already.
Is it kind of weird? Like he, I think, has the distinguishment, whatever, of being the only bad Joker. Like, he's the only bad on-screen Joker. Like, every other on-screen Joker I've ever seen.
Even animated is great. Mark Hamill's great.
Animated's great, too. Like, every Joker rendition I've ever seen, there has been something to it. His is the only one that's bad.
Bro, even Gotham, like Cameron Monaghan?
Cameron Monaghan's good.
He does, like, some fun stuff with the Joker character. Jared Leto, it feels like he's in between a Heath Ledger impersonation and just being like Jared Leto. Like,
I have another one for you. Joaquin Phoenix in Joker 2.
That's a movie because he's so good in the first one, though. Like that's
not fair.
It's a horrendous movie, but he's playing it the same way he played it in the first one.
Yeah. No. The second one, he's a whiny little bitch.
Direction is very different.
He's kind of a whiny little bitch in the first one. I know, but the second one, he never becomes Joker. He's just whiny bitch the entire time.
Yeah.
He never kills De Niro in the second one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And remember when they did this fucking photo shoot?
Leading into the Snyder Cut.
What the fuck was that, man? What were they thinking?
And that's another you talked about, like off screen stuff, like him sending like pig condoms to whatever the fuck.
I mean, you talk about off the field stuff with him right now. Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
He has like three scenes in the Suicide Squad. Like you know those memes, like you don't got one song where you got to be doing all that. He didn't have one scene where he had to be doing all that.
Like it's like with Heath Ledger like going insane. Like yeah, that makes sense. Like you're a humongous part of this movie. Like he really was only in like the strip club scene. And a couple scenes after that, and like
He comes and picks up Harley, like he breaks out, and they have the purple Lamborghini.
And the purple Lamborghini shot right across the boss.
Yeah,
and a Garcia sausage. As a DC guy, I'm jealous of the Marvel success. Definitely, like it's you look at that and you're like, this sucks. Like this is what we had. You guys have all of that, and I don't like the humor and I don't like the way it looks and the stuff. But at the end of the day, you had really well casted movies that audiences. Good or for bad, loved. We had this.
DC guy.
No, I don't mean like that. I'm not like you, but I'm saying like Marvel. Marvel fans, you know, growing up in the 80s and 90s, like it was always a divide between Marvel and DC comic people. And it was always we always had the upper hand because we had the better movies. We had Superman. Mm-hmm. We had 89 Batman. And then Marvel took that from us and we had nothing.
I mean, Affleck Batman is okay. I like him.
Good casting. Really good casting, I would say.
The best... I'd say
Margot Robbie, great Harley Quinn.
They didn't have the CW verse, baby.
They didn't have the CW verse.
Let me rip through the honorable mentions quick here, 11 through 20, because there were a lot, so I'll just do these. One that just missed, myself and Clemmer had it, Alicia Silverstone, Batgirl.
So bad.
I don't know what the character is supposed to look like, though.
Oh, terrible.
She's
Alfred. Edward Norton, the Hulk. Myself and Ken Jack had that.
That's a tough one.
I don't think that's the wrong fit.
I don't either.
I don't think
he's the problem in that movie.
Me neither. I kind of like him.
I don't think Ruffalo's a great Hulk either.
Yeah,
behind the scenes, he was the problem.
Yeah.
Catherine Newton, Cassie Lang, Robbie and Gooch.
Yeah,
horrible.
Ken Jack. Look at this one. I was like, whoa. Number two. Tony Revolori, Flash Thompson.
Yeah, he's a terrible Flash Thompson. He's a terrible Flash Thompson.
I didn't even think about him.
He's
just such a different take on the character.
How is he bullying Tom Holland?
No,
he's a fucking dork.
He's funny, though.
He's got a few throwaway lines that fucking kill me.
No, he's not funny. That is not the problem here. Like, he's supposed to be his bully, but he's a fucking dork.
I think they just adapt it from bully to troll.
No, I don't like that.
He's a troll in the movie.
Flash Thompson. Far From Home when he's like, yeah, Spider-Man just makes me want to be a better guy. And then Peter walks in, he's like, what's up, you fucking loser?
There is no question he is a good troll or whatever. Like, when I think of Flash Thompson, I'm thinking he's the guy that's bullying Spider-Man, the guy that like helps him make that revelation of like, I need to stand up for myself, other people, that stuff. He is a fucking dork. Revioli is a dork. I think that's an awful casting.
Meek Thompson, I call him.
Really funny moment in this movie where he is the two suspects and he lifts it up and it's him and Martin Starr.
Mm. They were
huge
missed.
Laugh.
Yeah.
Kind of a waste of a really good actor, to be honest. Like, he's a good actor.
Helen Slater, Supergirl from Clamart. That is a great pick.
How did you not have that?
That is a great
pick. I told you, I liked her more than you did in that
she's
movie.
She's the worst.
I didn't think she was the issue. I thought she was kind of charming.
She's like that Gruffid guy, Ian Gruffid. No charisma. Bland.
Well, this is one of the most disrespectful things we've ever done. But we've done it for years now. Ian Gruffit.
Yeah. I don't know how it's pronounced this day. I don't want to know. He was funny in Horrible Bosses, though. Really funny in Horrible Bosses.
Yeah.
Ian Gruffit.
Really good movie.
Yeah. Yon Griffith sounds like somebody who's on Golden Girls. Yeah. It's like a Chris, but that's how he pronounced it. I think he's Scottish.
Sounds like someone that's in Fajord.
Yeah, Fajord.
Fajord. John Krasinski, Mr. Fantastic from Gooch.
That was the Mr. Fantastic. Yeah. But that's a 2-second scene where I thought he was fine.
That almost makes it worse. The fact that you can't make it work in like a little consolidated punch.
I thought
one
it did
scene.
Work, though. I thought that scene worked.
I thought he was so flat.
He shows up and gets killed 2 seconds after he shows up.
That should be a big... I
cheered.
Yeah.
I was happy he got turned into spaghetti. I thought he was nothing on screen.
But he's on screen for a minute.
He doesn't have charisma. Yeah. It's like you're saying, he just doesn't have it.
Ray Fisher, Cyborg from Clemmer.
Just nothing to
so
know.
So bad.
I didn't actually put him on my list. That's a good call.
He was horrible.
He was bad. Yeah.
Horrible.
I don't know if I... Zachary Levi, Shazam from the biggest Shazam haters of all time.
Zachary Levi.
Guy stinks.
Jennifer Lawrence, Mystique from Ken Jack.
She gets worse.
Oh, she has a bad mistake.
She gets much worse.
She's pretty good.
That one
I hesitated because, yeah, I felt like it was good casting, and she just decided after the first movie that she
It did turn into a shit show.
Yeah, she didn't put in any effort. Yeah. And every movie she was like, by the way, I'm not doing the makeup for this one. Like, suit up to here.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't feel like she was necessarily the right fit. Although, I guess it depends on what you wanted on the movie. So, I don't know.
Good pick from Clemmer. I was like, I don't even have time for you with this movie. And that's Matt Smith as Milo in Morbius.
I never saw
Morbius.
What casting makes that movie work?
His doesn't. No, the movie never works. He's terrible in it. He's really bad.
Matt Smith is?
He somehow is the worst part of that bad movie.
Really?
I kind of like his dancing, and it makes me laugh every time I watch it.
He's the worst part of that movie, yeah.
Wow.
I like his little dance.
Michael Cassidy, Jimmy Olsen, Batman vs. Superman, shot dead.
That's funny. That's really funny.
That's not Jimmy Olsen.
He's CIA agent. No, it's not at all. That's a good call.
And then Nicolas Cage as Ghost Rider, Robbie.
Yeah, really? I don't even hate that movie. It's just like Nicolas Cage was way too old to be playing a cool Johnny Blaze at that point.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
Like Gosling is the guy you want. Mm.
That was fun, though.
They might be the same age. I don't know.
Yeah, that is it.
Good point.
Robbie, thanks for popping on again.
Of course.
So we need you on. We just did a big Marvel debate, but it's funny. We had that big debate, which a lot of those things still ring true. A lot of the concerns, a lot of maybe the positivity, but it is interesting to see now where Marvel is after this, which is just...
But that's where we all agreed Marvel was going to... Don't get me wrong, this movie's done gangbusters. This is... The biggest difference to me since we last had the discussion wasn't Spider-Man's box office receipts this week. It's that Marvel scaled back their films. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is the bigger takeaway
which is good.
From our discussion than Spider-Man blowing up the box office.
Which I think we all...
Saying that, though, 2 weeks ago. I was like, Marvel scaled back already.
But we didn't know to the level. Marvel hadn't announced that yet.
True. I just had the inside
info. Yeah, right.
My boy Feige.
My boy State. Yeah. My mom's basement stuff.
We all agree, though, that's a good thing, though. I think.
Of course. No.
We're on the same page.
We all agree Marvel's in a better spot, not because of Spider-Man receipts this month than last month, but because of that decision.
Yeah.
I think both, yeah. I think
Spider-Man receipts are hurt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is it. Thank you, Robbie. Clemmer. We'll see you in 2 weeks, Clemmer.
Yes.
We're doing One Night Only and then The Last House on Netflix. We'll wait for Tony. We want people to see the Anthony Bourdain movie. It's not wide yet.
I'll be excited to talk to Tony with you guys.
Mm-hmm. We also, quick note, we are going to do our top 50 comedies of all time. We're going to do them in the fall. Clemmer, I'll make sure we fit around, because I know you got some stuff coming up, Clemmer, as well.
Got the baby next month.
But we'll figure out time to do it.
I won't be gone for long, so.
Yeah. Fights is going to be our fifth for that.
Yes.
So Fights is going to do the comedies. He's working on his list now. We're going to do it in a little while. We're going to give it some time.
Okay.
We won't have as big of a gap between this list and whatever next one we do, but just a heads up, we are still doing the comedy thing. We did not abandon that. Very excited for that. And who knows? Maybe One Night Only makes that list.
Gotta be thinking no.
It could.
Will Gluck might be on that list.
Although we lied about movies from this year on. Remember the last one you yelled at me? Oh, this is movies of all time, so yes.
Yeah. It's not
me. You wouldn't let me from Project Hail Mary in the last one, remember?
Clemmer tried to sneak that Tom Hanks movie Here from Robert
De Niro. No, I did not.
Yeah, I remember that.
You're looking in your eyes. Actually, one thing we didn't talk about, which we need to talk about, was a little trailer came out. I think this is the last talk.
We didn't get to news. There was just too much.
Well, we got to talk Jumanji, because this is a show that I'm on. Jumanji Open World trailer came out. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it 4 times. It looks unbelievable. I mean, amazing from start
you.
To finish.
Fuck I mean, you. I recorded it. Because we could slip it in. The crowd pop in my...
Incredible,
it was
yes.
unbelievable.
That was unreal.
Because The Rock has so much charisma.
Yeah, so much charisma.
I know we didn't get to news. The news. The Thomas Crown Affair trailer, I thought, looked... I'm very...
Like Tenet. Very Tenet-y. Like,
I've seen this a lot. It's not an original take. People are like, it kind of looks like Tenet.
It looks just like Tenet.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's got Kenneth Branagh on it. It's Tenet.
Mm-hmm. Jumanji, let's end this with, I think we can do it. Just show Ken Jack's recording from inside the theater.
Oh, we can definitely show it, yeah.
The crowd pop for Jumanji.
It's insane. Let
me dismissing Jumanji. We are going to do a huge movie, a huge podcast for Jumanji. Like, I want to be very clear about that.
Yeah.
We will do a full on.
Chef, you might need to fly here. We might need to go in as the characters.
Hey, you know what? We'll make it work.
I am willing. that week, I'm willing to even leave my newborn baby.
Newborn on Christmas weekend?
Well, not Christmas Day. I think my wife would divorce me. Not Christmas Day, but maybe a couple of days after that, right. I will go see Jumanji in the theaters with mm-hmm. my friends.
I hope we could see it in Infinity Vision.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Thank God. Holy shit. That'd be awesome.
What a thrill.
Yeah.
The Rock was watching the Expo in Infinity Vision. He thought, my movie on that screen?
Yeah. Hell yeah. The possibilities are endless. God, I forgot about that quote.
It truly will be an open world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That is it. Thank you for watching. We will talk to you next time.